Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me.
Because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the cruiser.
You should call him the dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a beach.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here, except Eric. And we're going to do another show. It's Thursday at Gillette Stadium. This game just gets, it seems like a long time, doesn't this one?
Oh, we started talking about it last Tuesday.
Right.
We ignored the Dolphins for a week.
Yeah, this one seems to take a long time to get here, but that's all right. The buildup is worth it. It's going to be an awesome game at Lucas Oil Field. Is it a field or a stadium?
Stadium.
Lucas Oil Stadium?
Yes. You going to eat the food there with all the rat droppings in it?
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, we'll get into that. Another one of Pelion's tricks to get at the media and the Patriots. But
what?
So
what's going on today? It's Thursday at Gillette Stadium. What have you guys been doing this morning? Anything to talk about?
Locker room.
Locker room.
Yeah.
What kind of locker room they got in New England?
Somewhat active one today.
Yeah. Really?
Decent amount of players in there.
Maybe they heard about the pending boycott.
Maybe.
The one that you proposed yesterday?
Yes.
So,
it was seconded and thirded.
Who's talking and what are they saying?
Who's talking? A lot of guys talked today.
Everybody was raving about Peyton
Manning.
Thomas talked
for a while?
Yeah, a little bit bristly.
Adalis Thomas?
Bristled?
I mean, no, who else?
He got pissy at the very end to wrap it up, it seemed. Mike Giardi, our good friend of New England Cable News and Comcast.
Right, occasional co-host of PFW TV.
Asked about the success this team has had. Stopping tight ends, elite tight ends, Gonzalez, Winslow, some of those guys, you know, Dallas Clark on the horizon, and what part Brandon McGowan might, you know, why his skills. And first he said, so what's the question? And the question was clearly worded as a question. The guy, Mike Giardi, rephrased it as a question, and Thomas said his versatile skills helped the defense and just stared at him. I think he took it as, you were unable to cover tight ends, the job you were brought in to do over the years, and now Brandon McGowan is, that's just the only way he could have got pissy at that question.
Or maybe just, why would I tell you what our strategy is going to be?
But it wasn't strategy. It was based on Brandon McGowan's skill set and how he's been able to help guarding tight ends. He's matched up with them some, and he's got versatile skills to help the defense. I think he bristled at it because he's the guy that used to do it, and he didn't do it well enough, and he doesn't do it anymore.
Hmm.
Okay. That was my personal read on
the
situation.
That's your read on it.
And they generally laugh. When you ask a specific game plan question, they usually smile and laugh and say, I'm not telling you that, or something like that. They don't usually bristle at those questions.
Funny.
They might make fun of you later to themselves,
right.
But usually they just kind of laugh at you. For,
right.
You know, I think we were going to start out in a cover two, and then on third down we're going to go to this thing that they've never seen before. You know, Vince Wilfork's going to play defensive end this week. You
right.
Know, they're not going to do that.
Right. So who else besides AD talk?
We had a couple of the young defensive backs, Darius Butler, Patrick Chung. They both spoke.
Story of the week, Dan Connolly.
Dan Connolly, who was
a big story
this week. He had a large media contingent around him. Tully Vantacane opened up the locker room. There were, I thought, more.
I mean, literally, he opened the door and said, come on in, guys.
As soon as we walked in, everybody. I am being somewhat serious. As soon as we all walked in, everybody swarmed him.
He was the first guy.
There was like
saw.
25 guys there.
He does play a lot. He is relevant. No, I know you mocked him as Tully Vantacane.
Well, that's why I thought when you asked me what was going on, and I said it was a rather active locker room. I think that
that's not what I'm talking
about. He was in Chad Henne's
mug all day. I'm talking about
the
media who go in and have no idea what they're going to do. There's a guy. Let's all talk to him.
Well, I agree with that at times, but in this locker room,
this year you have to
to take whoever comes in because many days no one comes in.
Yeah.
If you miss a guy who plays a lot like a Vantacane, well, then you're following it up with Rob Ninkovich, Jake Ingram, and
especially as a TV
practice
guy,
squatter Joe Blow.
For us, it's a little bit easier because we can sort of make do with whatever we have. For a TV guy, you have to have something on tape.
Right.
So I agree with Andy.
Take what you can get.
If there's a group interview around any player and you don't get it, you run the risk of not getting anything.
Right.
So I can understand that.
It's the world we work in,
I
Fred.
Thought that the group settings, you know, the big, large media contingents, I'll use the nice way of putting it rather than the way we normally do. All of them,
rhymes
I
with
thought,
rang bang.
All of those today were, I thought, fairly relevant. And like I said, Adalis Thomas, the young DBs, Tully Vantacane, Dan Connolly, they weren't Tom Brady and Randy Moss, but they're guys that have been contributing and playing, and for whatever reason, in Conley's case, injury, have become relevant. So it was a fairly active locker room.
Okay. Did you see any of the walking wounded?
Saw Matt Light briefly. I didn't talk to him.
Yeah.
I know yesterday
Matt Light's looked fine for two or 3 weeks.
We had said yesterday that, you know, he joked and said that he had a date with Mike Wojcik. And
speaking of Matt Light, it just reminded me of offensive line, and that reminded me today of something that's on Patriots.com. They have the Belichick breakdowns, where after a win, he'll go and break down some of the key plays that he noticed and was able to. And there was one play where. And I didn't even see this at the time. The Patriots lined up with an unbalanced line, and they actually had, the extra lineman on the other side of the center. And then Vollmer came in, came out and blocked the tight. It was a very good play, but all those things can be found on Patriots.com, Belichick breakdowns. Check it out. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I was
what is
game.
That on?
On Patriots.com.
But, as part of
we
what?
Just started putting them up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, how come I don't know about
this? Yeah, this was the first week we put on.
Oh, check it out.
Belichick breakdown. So
from the Dolphins game.
Yeah, from the Dolphins game, yeah. It was interesting.
Right. Check it out.
I feel a little bit better. I thought I was, really in the dark about something.
You don't go to Patriots.com, do you?
It's my homepage.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought you didn't go to our site.
Why would
you
I
lying your ass off.
Everything but Patriots.com.
Well, that's you.
Yeah.
Along those lines, I listened to Bob Kravitz, Indy Star columnist, this morning coming into work, and he was everything but Colts.com. Not only is he picking the Patriots to win this week, he would take Tom Brady over Peyton Manning. He answered it somewhat definitively.
The only thing he would say is that he prefers Peyton Manning's wife over Tom Brady's wife.
But he's biased because
she
bought
him a beer.
Oh, okay.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't even know what she looks like.
I think I would pick Brady over Manning.
I know.
Shocker.
But...
I mean,
I'm telling you because he's in Indy.
Well, I mean, the tiebreaker.
If you took Manning, maybe I'd know
that. I don't think there are a lot of people in New England that would take Manning over Brady.
Right.
Well, clearly there's at least one fairly relevant media guy in Indy who would take
Because Brady is the clear choice.
Well, and
I don't
also
think that's true. You have to say it's a coin flip.
Well, the tiebreaker, no, it's very close, but the tiebreaker is the playoff records.
Right, but I think it's very close.
It's very close. That's why
Rodney Harrison.
And I think everybody in Indy.
Manning the ultimate quarterback.
Yeah. What's that?
Rodney Harrison called Manning the ultimate quarterback. He said
he's
down
the
4
passer.
Points.
And I certainly I don't want
to
deteriorate into 2 hours of Manning Brady. We've done that millions of times. Yeah. That's what seems to be
it's nauseating.
It
just
seems
listen to 98.5 all week.
The radio this week has been totally encapsulated with that. 98.5, they can't get off of it. But I think we all would recognize Brady's his ability to perform in the clutch, and I think that's why we would take Brady.
Yeah.
But I would think in Indy they would take Manning. This is one guy, a significant guy in Indy.
And Tony Dungy answered it that way. He said, I'll take Peyton Manning. I'd know one I'd rather have as my quarterback. I might feel differently had I spent 7 years with Tom Brady.
Right.
But I thought it was interesting that a guy who's there all the time kind of easily said Brady.
Of course.
Now, I also got the vibe that he could be the Ron Borges of Indy because he also said that Jim Caldwell is coaching as well or better than Tony Dungy ever did. Yeah. So I started to think, okay, maybe this guy has
Kravitz
a bias.
He's written some things in the past critical of Polian.
Tell me he's the Borges of Indy.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he likes...
I know every year they get knocked out of the playoffs, he writes a choking column.
Yeah.
Whenever they lose in the playoffs, he writes the same column.
You know, Mike Chappelle is the other guy in Indy, and he's more moderate, I guess. More of a centrist.
Yeah, well, I think Bob Kravitz is a columnist,
right.
and Chappell is a beat guy. At least he was. I don't know if he still is.
He still is.
So I think that would be, you know, there's a difference there.
All right.
I did notice Peyton Manning at his locker yesterday when I saw all the highlights.
I did notice that as well.
Of course, I was thinking there's probably 10 people there.
And I also would wonder how many times a week he talks. Is that this one brief a week?
My guess is no. That he's
I'm wondering if he does one at a podium every week. Right. And then, like Brady has been this year, very much available at his locker during the course of the week. Maybe Manning does that too.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, Brady's been very accessible this year.
If you've needed him, wanted to talk to him.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see any quotes except Wednesday.
I know he's had them.
Yeah, there have been some periodic here
really?
And there. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to... Fred.
As available as ever.
It's not like 15 guys can go up to Brady on Thursday and form a gaggle around him.
Why
That's not,
not
going to happen.
If he's there, why wouldn't that happen?
Because he's not going to do that. He's going to just walk away.
Right.
But if you walk up to him and say, hey, listen, I had a quick thing I wanted to ask you about, that touchdown pass to Moss where it looked like he kind of went in motion just before the snap, was that an adjustment? He'll answer that for
you. Okay.
That's all.
On the move, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he
is
clear he's not doing media availability.
He did it for Eric when he talked about like the media.
Yeah,
because
anyone else,
social
if they stand still for 5 minutes and answer a question, they're going to have a gaggle.
Well, anybody like Brady.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
We probably should mention that the injury report came out yesterday, the practice participation report, and there were a gaggle of Patriots who did not participate in practice.
Nothing really... surprising.
Well, Brandon Merriweather.
Merriweather would probably be the only one.
And Ty Warren, Eric, he can discuss it better later, but Eric continues to be confused with Ty Warren's status, availability. He sees him out there stretching, going to the first drill, and then did not practice.
Yeah,
one that seems to confound Patriots.com.
Yeah, now Eric gives us the practice report when he comes in the second half of the show, and so we knew that there were 10 guys that didn't practice, and we kind of assumed Randy Moss was one of them and probably would continue to be one of those maintenance kind of days, not injury related, and it was. But to see Merriweather show up there, that foot injury still lingering.
Hey, maybe Jimmy can play.
You know, that's a little bit of a concern for me.
Yeah.
No concern when you have a backup like James Sanders.
I said to Andy today, Fred. You know, Sanders walked in the locker room late. I said, I think you should go over. I think you should reach out.
I really
to
don't
him.
Know what to say.
I think you should reach out to him as his biggest supporter.
Send him flowers and a condolence card.
My new theory. Did you?
Sorry about your loss.
Rodney Harrison really praised James Sanders in helping Brandon Merriweather advance.
Wait a minute. Rodney praised James Sanders in helping Merriweather.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I said. And I just wonder, maybe next step is just coaching. Go right to the coaching staff, James. You're smart. You work hard. Everybody likes you and respects you. Maybe you can't
they
do it
always
physically.
Say those are the guys that
right.
make the best coaches.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have the skills to make it look easy like Ed Reed, but he knows how to coach him up. So maybe we'll just make him an assistant coach next year.
Okay. All right. Well, Web Radio with Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick early break as I watch Russ Francis on TV, and we'll be right back.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Whoa.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam and Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that?
Everything.
Your tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
Awesome!
And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
All right. I can't lie. Hey, where'd you get the nachos?
He made them.
As part of the spread.
Oh, I'd like some. Can you make me a plate of nachos? I can't lie. The reason we took a break is because Qdoba is back and gave us a little spread today. So thank you, Qdoba. By the way, Qdoba is much better than Chipotle. So in case anyone wants to know my opinion. So, yeah, so just some nachos with the salsa. Good.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Marty Nadeau.
What about him?
Bought lunch.
Oh, Marty bought lunch? I thought this was just a Qdoba thing.
No, he won the Qdoba question of the week last year and was hoping he was going to make a trip up here to join us for lunch, but he couldn't make it, so we sent the food anyway.
Well, thank you, Marty. That's very nice of you.
Excellent.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you. What? What about salsa? Can you put some salsa on it? Thank you. I mean, you know. You gotta put nachos. You gotta put something on it, right? Some salsa. Tacoma hands me a plate of naked nachos. Another plate, Andy? Holy crap!
No, that's what's later.
All right. Back to PFW Progress.
I'm doing the same
Progress.
Damn thing you are. I had a couple soft tacos, and
nothing
now I
like
have nachos.
That. Nothing like that.
You just bitched when he brought you plain chips. I have chips with cheese and salsa on it. You're going to... What
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And I'm trying to think. NFL news this week. It's a pretty quiet week. Not like last week, you know. Larry Johnson is still out there, right?
Got a game tonight, Freddie.
Yeah, the first of the Thursday nights tonight, right? That's good. There we go. Thank you. Hey, thank you.
Can I get a water?
Yes, that would be great.
So now we're asking for drinks. Okay, good. Good. Yeah, who's playing tonight?
Chicago, San Francisco.
Ugh. That's terrible.
It's a good at least middling
it's football,
game.
Though. Yeah, at least it's football.
I think it's overkill. I don't enjoy this whole Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday time of the year.
No?
Too much. Overkill.
I could do without the Saturday night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, give me one night where, you know, I can go out or whatever.
Do you really go out that much?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't mind the Saturday because it comes after the college
knocking
season.
Knocking at those late night parties you used to go to at 4 a.m.
Right. Yeah. You had to have the password. The Saturday games don't bother me as much as the Thursday because the college season is over. You know, but the Thursdays, I agree with you guys. I mean, how many days? You know, you got to have football every day. I know some people love that, but I just feel like I miss games. But right. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't have to.
Right. Okay. Sounds like everyone just is ready to check out. So why don't we just call it a day? No, I'm only kidding. 508-543-7482. Let's get to some emails. Where's Eric?
Doing his normal stuff and then practice, and then he'll be down
for picks.
What
time is practice today?
I don't know.
Will he be here?
I think it's around 1.
Will he be here for the picks?
Yeah. It's the same as always.
Why do you always get baffled by that?
Because they have been changing things up this year.
A little.
You know?
But it's been the same every week.
No.
Oh, yes, it has. Stacey, on Thursday, every single Thursday, goes to the locker room
maybe
with
maybe on Thursday, but you know, Stacey has had to send out numerous media updates.
Fridays are a little up in the
Fridays,
air.
Fridays, the timing of stuff has changed periodically, but the numerous media schedules are when they find out who the conference calls are. Generally, the timing of everything hasn't changed. Like, we get one on Sunday, and then when they find out what time the conference calls on Wednesday are, they send another one out. That's it.
Freddie, you're big on Belichick. Did you see the I didn't see it. I was reading about it. He was mic'd up last week.
Oh, I didn't
and there's
know that.
A, there's a five-minute compilation that's available, I think, on NFL.com. But I guess it starts early on as him talking to Ernie on the field pregame saying, this feels like a Pat White day. And so he was on board with us. We thought Pat White would be the wrinkle last week. We talked a lot about it. And Bill was like, maybe Bill was listening. Maybe that's where Bill got the idea.
Did Ernie say?
Does Ernie talk?
That's why I asked.
I don't know. I didn't see it, so it didn't. The part I read didn't say Ernie said anything, and he wasn't mic'd up. It was Bill, obviously.
So this is at NFL.com?
I believe so. Yes.
Well, you have to check it out anytime you can get.
My guess is Ferreira also will link to it or have it on our site, right? Isn't that what he does?
I always find those things fascinating when they mic up the NFL players. You know, sometimes when they do it with players that are on the field, a lot of you hear just junk. But
do you guys want to hear it?
Yeah, you got it?
Give me 2 minutes and I'll have it.
Okay,
for you.
Well, while you, but I like
totally
it.
On board with you, Freddie.
I like it when they mic
the coaches,
up the coaches
are different.
Yeah,
the players are grandstanding.
Right.
The coaches they're coaching. They don't. They kind of forget that it's even on.
Right. It's good stuff.
I always like the Brett Favre stuff. I think he's very entertaining in that whole compilation.
Yeah.
They do of him. Again, I know you just hate him.
I've lost,
I don't hate anyone.
I've lost a lot of respect for him. I don't hate him, but he's just.
Yeah, I don't mind Brett Favre when he's doing it, but there are guys that I think that grandstand. They know that they know the mic is on, and they do things that I don't think they normally would.
And I think it's funny when they're doing that, they'll go up to like a teammate and they'll start grandstanding. And 9 out of 10 times, the teammate is silent, doesn't say anything because you know they don't want to like be caught up in their thing. So, all right, LT from Adelaide down in Australia. Says, good day to the Kenyan, the kicker, the unfit basketball player, and Peter Griffin. With both teams knowing each other intimately, do you think that Bill does something different and adds a wrinkle to the Patriots game this week? Do you think that the Pats have been more aggressive this year with the blitz than last year and 2007? I also wouldn't mind seeing Bill employing an unbalanced offensive front with Vollmer, Light, and Kazier on the field and running Maroney on the Colts' undersized defensive front. Well, we were talking about that earlier. If you go to Patriots.com right now and click on the Belichick breakdowns, you'll see that they did exactly that. Obviously, Light wasn't involved. But
check it out.
But they did exactly that last week. Early in the game, they had an unbalanced line. Vollmer pulled from his left tackle spot and blew open a hole for Maroney early. I think Maroney got like 9 yards on it. But it was a well-designed play. And
so Vollmer, they ran it backside?
They ran it backside. Vollmer came from
the weak side,
left spot. And no, the unbalanced part was on the strong side. Vollmer came from the weak side and pulled into that power.
Well, then how was it unbalanced then?
Because they had an extra guy, an extra guard on the center side.
Oh, I'm confused.
Yeah.
I thought unbalanced was a guard and a tight end on the backside and the tackle moves to
whatever
the right side
is,
where the tight end was.
It wasn't the usual formation. It was unbalanced.
I think it's probably hard to explain. We'll have to see it.
Yeah, you don't have two on either side of the center. So
I think they've done a good amount of blitzing, though, to answer. It was LT, LT's
yep.
email. I
yep.
think they've done a fair amount of blitzing. I think they blitzed a lot late last year when they felt like they had to, when they realized that their defense just wasn't going to be good enough to stop anybody.
When they figured out that playing vanilla base, they still weren't going to be good enough.
Anybody.
So if we're going to give up plays, let's take a chance and try to make some.
So I do think that they have blitzed. I don't think they've blitzed a tremendous amount. I think they've done it a little bit more often than last year, but not. I wouldn't say it's been,
generally have been relevant.
Yeah.
They've gotten in the area, if not, knocking them down.
It hasn't
whatever.
Been Jets-like or anything where they're blitzing on every play.
It isn't. But one thing we've seen is a blitz a little earlier in the game where I think maybe that's a testament to they have a little bit more trust in the secondary.
Yeah, used to blitz a lot with leads.
Yeah, we saw Chung come up the middle last week early in the game on a safety blitz, something that I don't think we saw at all last year except late in the game. And I mentioned that reminded me of the Merriweather blitz in Seattle late in that game.
And Merriweather was coming on this one, too.
Yeah. So, I think that might be because they trust the secondary to not give up a big play early in the game, which no team wants to do.
Speaking of blitzing, and a total kind of aside from the Monday night game, obviously Pittsburgh is the zone blitz. And they highlighted one of them where they had the nose tackle was dropping into coverage. He was responsible for the back out of the backfield. And he clearly, his first priority was to knock the crap out of the back. And it was right at 5 yards. And I'm wondering, you think in the backs of their minds, officials maybe let that happen a little bit more often and are less likely to call illegal contact because they feel like it's like an unfair advantage, like it's some sort of a different scenario so that we'll let the guy bang a little bit, be a little more physical, because if not, he can't compete. Because I think officials do that in all aspects of the game. I think they are greatly swayed. I don't think they call it black and white right down to the T.
I think they're swayed by circumstance.
You.
I would agree with you. I mean, hard to say for sure what they call and what they don't call, but I agree with you. I think there are times where they might be a little bit more forgiving and other times where they might call it tighter. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I would let nose
they're human.
I would let nose tackles beat the crap up. If you can get your hands on the back, beat them up.
They're human. The referees, they see it. They're like, geez, how else is that guy supposed to cover him in a situation like that? And not that you're letting him hold him and throw him to the ground.
No, I wouldn't let hold, but I'd let him be physical.
But if he's hitting him with an illegal hit that may be on the edge of the illegal area, I think you might be letting it go
20 yards downfield. Right.
And you can't just let him reach out and
six,
grab a
eight,
guy.
10 yards in there.
You can't let him hold a guy blatantly just because he's fat and shouldn't be able to. That's the defense's scheme fault. For asking him to do something he shouldn't be asked to do. But, yeah, that probably happens.
The rest of LT's email, just to clear up a few points, Fred was surprisingly correct when talking about John Gruden, where 5'11 Elvis Dumervil was eaten alive by 6'8 tackle Max Starks. Fred then returned to form, however, with him saying that Bill Belichick stated that the Pats had gone 0-for-9 in the red zone in the past 2 weeks. Bill was referring to the last two games last year against the Dolphins, where they went 0-for-9 in the red zone. Looking forward to the game and the curse words this Monday morning. So, Doc has that Belichick wired up, so why don't we play that right now?
I kind of got the feeling this is going to be a little bit of a Pat White game. Pat White is in the Wildcat formation in the shotgun.
All right, so we know something's coming here. They got to get it started with something now.
Pat White runs it to the left on the option, going to keep it and go. He's got yardage at the 30, 35, 40. He can run.
He put in a backup rookie quarterback. That's the longest game that the Dolphins had today.
Run, 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 run.
A Wildcat formation with Pat White back in as quarterback for Miami. Pitches it back to the right to Ricky Williams. Turns the corner in good shape for the five and into the end zone. Touchdown. Pat White ran that option very, very well.
All right, look, let's get it drawn up here. Get it straightened out. The next time they run that, okay, let's go right to the quarterback. Okay, go right to him. Because that's no, there's no dive or anything on that. It's just straight speed option on you. The fullback's leading on the safety. Go right for the quarterback.
You're really going to keep your eye on who the quarterback is for the Dolphins. They run the Wildcat with White, and then they'll bring Henny in the quarterback. Henny back to throw on third and 10. Steps up, lets it go near side, and gets the first down completion.
Right on the sticks, too, right? Damn it.
Third down for the Dolphins. Brought straight back to throw. Looks, fires. It is complete there. So the Dolphins are 2 for 2 on third down conversions.
There he is. That first third down now, right on the sticks, right?
Yep.
Run the comeback right on the sticks?
Yep.
It was a double move. All right. Next third down. Let's get up on these guys.
Second down and 10. Brown takes the handoff on the end around to the right side. Breaks it out to the about the 14-yard line, and the flag goes down. To make it a holding call against Miami.
It's third and 6. Third and 7. We'll decline it. Third down. Third and 7.
The penalty is declined by Bill Belichick and the Patriots, bringing up a third down for Miami.
Got a nice play here.
Direct snap to Henny, rolls to his right, looking right all the way.
Get
gonna
on.
Run with it, gets rid of
get
the football
on.
And throws it away. The Patriots defended that very, very well.
That's the way to get on him. Nice job. That's the way to get on him. Hey, that's the way to get on him right there. Nice job. Nice job. Good series. I'm telling you, they got to get something going here. And it doesn't look like it's with the running game.
Back to throw is Henny. Near side, it is complete. Devon Bess on the catch.
Press these guys! Press them!
Back to throw is Henny on second down. Fires to the left, and it is caught by Devon Bess.
Look, we got to get up on these receivers. We got to get up on Bess, okay? He's getting too many 5-yard, 7-yard completions. We don't want to be off on him. Let's get up there and get his ass, okay, when he's outside.
Chad Henne is back to throw the rush. He gets hit as he gets rid of the football. Henne gets rid of the football right, and it is incomplete. Had great pressure coming from Tony Bennett King.
Starting to get a little more rush on this quarterback now. Go ahead and bluff that blitz a little bit now, okay? Just start up in there and then back out of it. But they're going to think we're coming.
Patriots got a blitz.
And a timeout. He doesn't have a timeout.
He does not.
Hey, look, that's the way to play him. Just get on him now. Get on their ass. Get on him. Be alert now. I told you, he ain't leaving these plays in the play in on the field, okay? He's going to call him. He's not going to leave him in the game plan seat. So let's stay alert back there now.
They're on the Wildcat. They give it to Ricky. Ricky flips it back to Henny, and he is taken down by Adavis Thomas.
Good series, fellas. That's a good series. Good job, Tully. Good series, fellas.
Back to throw is Henny. Steps up, rifles it. It is a one-handed diving spectacular catch.
It's over. It's over. It's over.
The game clock ticks away, and that's it.
That's over. Nice job. Playing good, buddy. Playing good. Yeah. You got all the respect in the world for you. You're being a Hall of Fame, buddy. Because we're playing against us. You know what? These are the kind of games right here where you just got to gut it out. It goes for you. It goes against you. You battle through it for 4 quarters. It's games like that. And we got a lot of them coming up here. We got another one this week. Enjoy this one. You guys earned it. You were the better team today. Come in here Monday, ready to go. Get back to work on Indianapolis, okay? We need to have a good week. We need to have a good week. We're in tomorrow, fellas. Last week was your week off. We're in tomorrow.
All right, well, that's Bill Belichick. Good stuff. And I thought it was pretty interesting. You know how we are always watching the game. Why don't they get up on those receivers? Why are they giving a cushion? Well, they're supposed to. You know? He's asking him to get up on
them. Why didn't he yell that 3 years ago to Ellis Hobbs?
Well, I think he might have, because I remember another one of these situations. I think it was the Giants game where Ellis Hobbs came off the field. And he's like, Ellis, rely on your quickness and your speed. Get up there.
So bench him. I thought the best part of that whole thing was, especially in light of what we talked about in recent weeks with Bill, talking about different types of players, what they see, how they digest the game, was the Butler clip where he said, "But Darius, remember what happened last play? You know, at the sticks." And he says, "Yeah, at the sticks, the double move at the sticks." And Bill goes, "Oh, is it a double move? Yeah, double move at the sticks." I like that. Butler knew immediately what play he was talking about, what the guy did, and not like he's playing every play. So, you know, there's some leeway there, but I liked that. Remember that everybody raved about how Bill loved Butler
right.
when they went to the UConn Pro Day?
Yep.
I wonder if Butler is one of those Moss Brady type minds where he sees everything
yep.
and understands. You know, he played both ways at UConn.
Yep.
Generally, you don't allow a guy to do that if he's a moron.
And by the way, the guy that Bill was talking to at the end, obviously Hall of Fame, is Jason Taylor.
Right.
Yeah, he was walking off.
He really does use the same lines everywhere, though. Like, he tells us Jason Taylor's going to go into the Hall of Fame from playing against us, and he tells Jason Taylor you're going to go in the Hall of Fame from playing against us.
Well. No, but it's good stuff. Good stuff.
And, yeah, I like that stuff.
Yeah, and I liked even the thought process on certain things. You know, you talked about those plays. He's not going to leave those plays in the game sheet. You know, they're in the game plan. He's going to use them. And then, you know, with it deciding whether or not to take that holding penalty. I remember when that happened
yep,
deep down our end, and we talked about it. It was 3rd and 7 rather than it would have been, you know, a 2nd and, you know, like 15 because right. it wouldn't have been a full 10 yards. And that was the right call. He declined the holding call. But I laugh because Andy and I, we joke every week, Fred, on this certain 3rd downs. And we'll look at each other. Usually he makes fun of me because I go, big play here, Andy. And I heard Bill say it on that 3rd and 7.
Well,
big play here now.
He does say a lot of stuff that is obvious. I mean, I know he's a genius. And
right.
so, but he says a lot of stuff that I think every coach would say at the same situation.
Right, but it's not like, you know.
Well, that's just heavily edited, too. I mean,
oh, God, yeah.
And you know, Andy's, you know, and I, we're joking about it, but it's not like we say, hey, big play here on every 3rd down. There are
right.
certain times during the course of the game where you can just tell it's a big conversion for the Patriots or it's a big stop for the Patriots, and you know it's going to go a long way toward determining the outcome. And that was, I believe, the possession after the Patriots had taken the lead. So that was early 4th quarter, 3rd down, deep in their own end. They needed a conversion there, and they didn't get it.
I also would like to know the exact editing, how these things timed in, because, you know, he says,
yeah.
now fake that blitz up there. Come up, show them. They're going to think we're coming, and then you can back off. And
was
they go right to the Henny. They go right to Henny calling a timeout he doesn't have. He wanted to get out of it. Was that, you know, 10 minutes earlier,
same,
2 minutes earlier?
Same thing with the trick plays and then
right.
the clip they show you that
right.
is the double reverse that Dallas Thomas
well,
sniffed
NFL
out.
Films is very good at that. They
oh, God, yeah.
They teach their editors, you know, to tell a story. And
but are they telling a story that occurred or are they making
no.
up a story?
Well, it,
but,
you know,
was this loosely based on the game or did it happen
right.
exactly?
And that to me is a big difference because if it was late in the game like that and Bill was you know, imploring them, don't forget about X, Y, and Z here. They're not going to leave those on the game plan sheet. They're going to use them. And then shortly thereafter, that play came. That makes it more impressive to me rather than if he had said that in the middle of the 2nd quarter and then in the 4th quarter they come up with a big stop.
Right.
You know, there's a big difference there.
Right.
But the big news is he was listening to us on knew it was going to be a Pat White day because we had predicted it.
I think anytime you get a chance to listen to Bill like that, Bill uncut on, you know, on the sideline.
Kind of uncut.
No, but I'm saying what he's saying is not being doctored. They're
right.
not showing you everything he said, but what they are letting you hear is uncut. I mean, it's that's what he said.
Maybe.
And I, like the interaction with Butler, I agree with you, Andy. I think that was really interesting.
Bill likes to get a lot of asses, too. He said that a number of times.
Well,
okay.
I'm sure that, again, it's heavily edited.
Right.
That's the mild part. Yeah.
Beep.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff from Bill Belichick on the sideline. I guess that's on NFL.com, Doc, and it might be on Patriots.com, too. Because
it's definitely on NFL.com
a lot of
right
times
now.
They give us that
right.
stuff.
I'm
so.
Sure if it isn't, it will be.
Yeah. So we should tweet that out if we have it on there.
I also like
Ferreira
yeah, last
sucks,
week
Merry Christmas.
We're in on Monday.
And Chris, tweet out the Belichick breakdowns, too, if you haven't already.
And Tony Dungy at 2 o'clock.
Well, I'm going to get to that. I'm talking about content on the website right now. But Doc is right. We're going to have Tony Dungy on Patriots Playbook today.
Apparently anybody can get NBC, guys.
Yesterday we had Rodney Harrison. Today we'll have Tony Dungy. So good stuff. Big buildup.
Patriots.com radio is where it's at.
Yeah,
we've been getting emails every single day with new stuff from the NBC.
They're taking full advantage of the game of the year.
Well, I'd like
the rivalry of the decade.
I'd like to see the ratings because so far the biggest game was that Dallas game.
This will be the biggest.
The ratings going to be
Paul's right.
Oh no, the Minnesota.
The
Minnesota
every
game, Green Bay game.
Every game has been the biggest rating.
Yeah. The Minnesota.
But this will be the biggest.
They're sending me an email every week. It's the biggest.
The Minnesota Green Bay game was like the biggest ever, or something like that. I'd like to see what
they're all the biggest ever. That's the way it works.
And this one will be the biggest ever.
Nico,
until next week's biggest ever.
Nico from the Philippines says, this is really a big week for all of us Pats fans. Colts-Patriots matchup is really the best rivalry of this decade. But for me, this is twice as special as November 14th will be Manny Pacquiao versus Miguel Cotto. I don't know if you're into boxing, but this is hyped to be the fight of the year, and this features our pride, Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao.
Pacquiao.
Who? Pacquiao?
Yes.
The weird thing regarding this fight is that I saw some of the columns of Ron Borges from the Herald in Pac-Man's site. What's with him? Was he suspended to write anything about Boston sports and now tackling boxing? I must admit he is not really getting Filipino fans by his commentary, not like you guys, which is continuously growing international fame he will never have. Pats 35, Indy 14. Oh, Borges has been a boxing columnist for a long time.
He's a terrific boxing writer, too.
He's won his awards in boxing.
And that's what he's been doing this week, by the way. He hasn't been down here at all. I think he's going to be covering
that.
Is
he writing
fight.
For the Herald? I mean, yeah. For the Herald in this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Now, my guess is that he'll go from the fight to Indianapolis. He's done that many times.
Yep.
Saturday, you know. The fight is Saturday, and he'll go right to the game on Sunday.
Any more cookies left?
Yeah, you want one?
Yeah. Half of one. You want to split one with me, Paul?
It won't go to waste. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I'm sure one of us will eat it. In light of your criticisms of the newspaper industry, did you notice the Globe has Michael Vega in Indianapolis all week?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's another good use of resources.
I think that's a good use of resources.
Yeah,
I think if you can afford to have one of your writers,
but you can't. You can't afford to have it. Otherwise, you would be on the verge of bankruptcy.
Paul Perillo, angry.
Let me put it this way: if you're going to choose to have a writer on the road covering, you know, when I think that's a good use of money to have the opposing team covered the week before a big game. I think that's.
It's not really good or bad. It's how good. Bang for buck.
Right.
Paul's right. They've gone through financial turmoil.
And I also think if you were in the best of times, okay, I still think it's a waste. Because in this day and age,
I do too.
People in Boston don't need to read the Boston Globe's account of what's going on in Indy because they can see it for themselves on ESPN. They can see it on NFL Network. They can get on the Internet and read anything they want from the Indianapolis Star. They don't need Michael Vega giving them the same stories that everybody else is giving them on other outlets.
If you're
it's a waste
in the Globe,
of time.
If you're already in the Globe as a reader, I appreciate the news right there. I don't want to have to go to another place to get the news about the game coming up.
Well, I disagree with you. The news about the game coming up is right here in Foxborough. That's all I can tell you.
What does that mean?
The people that are here in Foxborough covering the Patriots are giving you all the news that you need to know about the game coming up.
I don't know. Maybe we can ask our listeners. I think it's interesting to see the other side of it, you know?
Our listeners aren't a good judge.
No.
No, because they're global. They're not reading the Globe, like you said. Right. Somebody who's reading the Globe and it's already in your paper. Our listeners are digital.
All right,
so they can go to Indy and get whatever they
15,
want.
15, 20 years ago, I think it would have made all the sense in the world, financial trouble or not, to send someone to Indianapolis because that's providing something that you can't get anywhere else. Now, you're not doing that. That's why I think it's a big difference. It's a changing time in the media. In the Globe and a lot of newspapers, the Herald too, haven't adjusted to those changing times. They continue to do things the same way they did because there's like this manual that was written somewhere that they all follow and they're all afraid. It's like advertising. I always make fun of. Everybody's afraid to do something different because that's the way it's always been done. Well, until someone changes, the newspapers are going to struggle. Look at the Olympic coverage. Look at the Olympic coverage in the Globe.
Yeah, that's.
Does anybody care about the Olympics? On a yearly basis. Now, when the Olympics come around, there are those people, and there's a lot of them that get swept up in the Olympics.
Eric.
Most notably our own Eric Scalavino. No, nothing wrong with that. But how much do you have to read about the Olympics the other 3.5 years in between?
All right.
You know, if you're a Summer Olympics guy, are you really that interested in it? Do you ever open up a Sunday Globe and see the amount of wasted space they devote to the Olympics? It's unbelievable to me. And the guy who does it happens to be a very good friend of mine, John Powers.
Right. Do they get certain advertisers, though, because of that content?
I don't know. I can't imagine
the content. You shouldn't have a guy doing it. I mean, in this day and age where you can outsource and get somebody who's an expert on the, you know, just essentially a freelance gig.
And Andy, you look at some of them, it's like, the World Figure Skating Championships, or the Europe, over in somewhere in Europe. They're not these like cheap little flights where you can, spend a couple of $100 and put someone up for a weekend stay in Washington, D.C. No, they're in like Zurich and all over the place. It just doesn't make any sense.
Unless it's like Nancy Kerrigan was there and she's from New England. Even then, who cares?
Yeah, that would be a different situation if you had a local reason to want to cover it. But in my opinion, the Globe thinks it's a national newspaper, international newspaper in some regards. And that's why they continue to
arrogant. Pompous.
Yes. Put the pedal to the metal. I actually talked about this with our buddy Mike Reese the other day, who was laughing at the knee-jerk reaction during the bye week to send everybody to the Jets game, the Jets-Dolphins game. Both the Globe and Herald staffed the Jets-Dolphins game. That's a complete and total waste of time.
Wasn't he there?
No.
Oh.
Complete and total waste of time.
It is.
He wrote on it from his living room, and he gave me the same stories that they gave. It's just a complete waste of resources. I'm not saying that people aren't interested in what went on with the Jets-Dolphins game the week of the Patriots' bye. I was interested in it. I'm sure that there were other, a lot of Patriots fans were looking at that game with some interest.
Yeah, you don't need to travel.
But you don't need to.
Probably
you don't need
watched
to,
it.
You don't need to staff it. Just, no. I think it's.
What are they thinking, Paul?
I think they're not thinking. They're thinking the way they've always done things. This is what we've always done. This has always worked. We're going to keep doing it. That's what they think. A lot of them are like traditional old-time newspaper people, and they're doing the same things that they've been taught, when they were young.
Ink-stained wretches.
Yeah.
All right.
It doesn't make them bad people. I just think they're running a business into the ground.
James from the U.K., the other James from the U.K., says, very excited about the game on Sunday. We get the Sunday night game live over here on Channel 5, although for us it is Monday morning. Generally, I record the game and watch it at a semi-sociable hour. However, as it is a Patriots game, I'll be watching live. Screw the job and the lack of sleep. And Qdoba's starting to come up.
How about those that professionalism?
Gone.
Having listened to you for a while, you guys seem to be of the opinion that we will try to put extra DBs on and cover Wayne and Clark, and pressure on Manning won't be much of an issue. Personally, I would have thought trying to get Manning off his spot and get him moving would be the better idea. Manning is obviously great as a pocket passer, but really doesn't seem to be that good on the move. Not true? I would have thought bringing extra pressure up the middle to try and flush him out would be effective. I await to be educated on why I am wrong.
Well, you're not wrong, but you can do both. If you have extra DBs on the field, six defensive backs, Brandon McGowan and Brandy Merriweather are one of them. As we saw last week and last year, they can blitz up the middle.
Right.
I also learned something the other night. The double A gap blitz is all the rage these days in the NFL. I didn't know that.
Oh, I heard
Gruden told me that.
That was one of the three plays that I heard.
So
that was the Ty Law play.
You can do both, but you don't need to have more defensive linemen and linebackers on the field to blitz. It can be coming from your secondary people. That's why I do. I think they are going to be very light on their feet, so to speak. I think there are going to be 5, 6, 7 defensive backs on the field. I think there's going to be times when you see maybe Will Fork in the middle and nobody else, and it's just all little guys standing up. I think it's going to be about confusion, flooding the zones, and not knowing where the pressure comes when it comes.
Yeah, and the emailer is right. I think they do have to get some pressure. They can't just sit back in conventional 6, 7 defensive back alignments and just let Manning take what's underneath. Manning has proven he's changed his philosophy. He'll take what's given to him now, where in the past he would take what's given to him, but then he would get impatient and force the ball downfield. I don't think he'll do that anymore, and I think he showed that in the AFC Championship game in 06, and he has done that pretty effectively since. So I think Andy's right. I think it's not so much sending a ton of different blitzes at him, but it's maybe trying to confuse him as to where it's coming from. You're still only rushing four or five guys, but you have a better chance of getting there.
James also says, isn't the main problem with our red zone O our lack of power runner? Now, saying that I don't want Larry Johnson for the obvious reasons, I would just really like to see Taylor and Morris back to help out Boney in the law firm. Having said that, all that, I am confident because of the Indies cornerbacks, and I can see the Brady, Moss, and Welker really taking it to them. P.S., thank you to Paul, who I talked to very briefly outside of Wembley Stadium before the Bucks game. We had a brief chat, and I took a picture, and then walked away and got asked by a rather attractive woman who said, who is the guy in the purple jacket? After I explained about you and the paper and the show, she said she would listen. So I hope I have increased your listenership slightly amongst the football uneducated.
Especially if she's attractive.
Were you wearing a purple jacket that day?
No, it was navy blue.
Oh.
James was drunk?
No, the woman asked who was the guy in the purple jacket.
So the woman was colorblind.
Yeah. She obviously had sight issues.
There's a lot of these Patriots navy blues that look awful purple to me.
Yeah,
hats and shorts and stuff.
Yeah, you know the jacket.
I think
it
might be.
That's the jacket that I wear most often. It's not purple.
A lot of talk of your jacket in the locker room, Fred.
There was.
The navy blazer with the gold buttons.
Sailor boy buttons.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of talk.
What were they saying?
They were kind of mocking it.
Not as far as you know.
The one that I was wearing on TV?
Yep.
You know what I think, Freddie?
Does the media watch our show?
Part of the people that we were talking about are actually involved in the show. So. Oh.
But they were still mocking you.
So, you know, it just stands to reason my own guys are just, you know, talking behind
me.
My back.
No, it wasn't us.
It was not me and was not Paul.
The only thing I can be guilty of is making a
our show,
you know,
should make Cox bigger.
A laugh.
Laughing understandably.
What was this? Collins?
I
was not
say.
Chris Collins.
I'll turn that place on its head.
I think it's already on its head. Our show is preempted by Mohegan Sun.
Did you happen to look at the DVD?
Here we go, boys.
No.
Did they give you the right
one?
They
give us the right one because
it's not half Mohegan Sun.
The one that aired.
Well, no, I did see the start of the show, so it's ours, the full show. Obviously, they couldn't give you.
There was a problem.
On the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody in master control.
What couldn't they give me? What did I do?
No, they couldn't give me a DVD with Mohegan Sun on it because that show hadn't started, you know.
No, it was an old one.
It was
the night before.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, instead of our show, Monday night's Mohegan Sun aired, I guess. Jumped to us at some point, I was told. Right in, the trash talk segment.
On the repeat? Did they get it right on the repeat?
Yes, 3:30 a.m. It was right.
3:30 a.m.
Okay. Freddie, you know how you always say, you know, when the Patriots
so
and Colts play?
Yeah.
Should the Patriots try to, you know, run the ball a little bit, chew up some time?
Right, right.
You know, ball control, keep the...
Right.
I think it's the opposite. I think the Colts need to try to do that.
Yeah. I think that's – yeah, I agree.
And Brown supposedly is back, so they can have two guys to do it with.
Yeah, he says he's playing. He's declared himself in.
I'm intrigued to see him in person.
But he – I was actually going to talk to Butler today about your boy Todman, but then never really got a chance. But
– put him on your watch list,
listeners. I think that's the best way for Indy to win this game would be to somehow score touchdowns. Obviously, we talked about the red zone, but with sustained drives. I don't think that they'll be – I think they'll lose a shootout, like the Miami kind of thing where they didn't have the ball a lot. I think they'll lose because the Patriots' defense is more apt to come up with a stop to me in a situation like that than I think that the Indies is. So I think that Indies might have to that ball control passing attack, you know, that Brady is so good at.
Yep.
I think Manning's going to have to utilize it
a lot of
bit.
A die out of the backfield.
Yeah, Dallas Clark caught a million passes last week for no yards. I mean, it was like 14 catches for 120 yards
Two?
Or something like that?
Maybe I thought it was less than that.
You know, so those are effective passes for the offense, but it's going to take you a long time to score. And that's what I think the Colts need to take a long time to score, and then they actually need to get in the end zone. So it's a hard way to win.
And that's where they've been struggling lately, kind of like the Patriots.
Worse than the Patriots the last 2 weeks. They have not been able to score any touchdowns. They've been dominating games and get in the red zone, and they have to kick field goals.
It's football math, Fred. 7 beats 3 every time.
Wow.
Sounds like an analysis.
With my understanding that there would be no math.
Shannon writes in, I hope the Pats blow the doors off the Colts' straw house Sunday night. And leave those blue and white face painted horse bleeping fans with a big old droopy lip, depressed face. Let's just get that straight to start off. To the game, not only do I always look forward to the annual Colts game, but this one, when the Pats win, it will be extra special. Call me greedy, but I don't want the Colts to break the Patriots' consecutive win streak. Also, not that it needs to be said again, but home field will be key. What's that key word?
It'll be key.
It'll be key.
Yeah. And all I know is that it's awfully hard to beat the Pats at home in January. I don't think the defense's performance will be as important as the Pats' offense firing on all cylinders. The Colts' offense was struggling against the Niners at home, not worried about Satan Manning and his crew of blue turds. Pats win big, 38-21. I can't wait to see Manning's ginormous forehead with that big red helmet rub mark across it, walking off the field at the end of the game as a loser.
Well, at least you respect the rivalry and the two teams in it. Who wrote that? Fred Kirsch?
Fred was actually more complimentary.
That's Shannon. I can't wait to see, you know, Manning on the losing
side, like,
too.
I like the Manning face. I'm not going to lie to you about that. I think that's funny. When he has that pouty look on his face, and they both have it.
His shoulders kind of slump.
No. Come on now.
They both have it.
Brady's never powdered a day in his life.
He gets on the phone.
I mean, both Mannings.
Oh.
The Manning look.
He goes to the sideline, gets on the phone to the coaches' booth, slams it down. Then they hand him the printouts. You know, he looks over that.
He puts the hat on, too.
Yeah, looks over the printouts, throws them aside.
After he throws a pick on the sideline, there's no one in America who wouldn't be able to just look at that picture right there and know what just happened. Because he'll be – Fred's exactly right. He's always going through the Polaroids. And he's got the sheet in his hand, and he's flicking through. And he's got that – his head's going Tradio back and Paul forth, Paul. And he's right. Just got that frustrated look on his face. I like the Manning face. You're right. I mean, Brady does it too. He likes to chuck water bottles around. What are you going to do?
I think all the great ones do
all
it.
All the great ones have that competitive
Dan Marino,
streak.
I think they sulk like a three-year-old when
but
it's
part
not
of
going
it
right.
Is because they know what's going on there so well. They know exactly what just went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want it back so bad.
Which QB would you want for one game?
Wow.
87%
Brady
say
lost,
Peyton Manning.
Brady lost Connecticut.
Well, that's Giants territory.
Right, it's everybody. It's the five states that he won are all New England states.
Well, we're talking about an ESPN Nation poll, Sports
30,
Nation.
30,000 votes.
That's because they hate the Patriots. We got Hawaii, though, I saw.
No, that was red.
They did. Oh. The only thing we got was New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. They're hard to tell.
That's why I think it was Connecticut that he didn't get.
That's why I love it because, you know, we like to be hated. People hate us. They hate Tom Brady. They hate Bill Belichick. They hate the Patriots.
Well, see, I don't know about that. The hate thing doesn't work, I don't think, for Bill. I think if you put that same poll up, which coach do you want to win one game, I think it'll say Bill Belichick, 92%.
Oh, grudgingly, though. I mean,
why isn't it grudgingly Tom Brady?
But they hate him. Because Peyton Manning's pretty good, too.
So there's no other coach close enough?
You're not going to put Chip Caldwell up against Bill Belichick.
So there's no other coach that's even in the conversation, and that's why Bill would have
to win it. For Bill Belichick, there isn't.
I'm just asking. Why are you yelling at me? I'm not arguing.
There is no coach.
It's just a question.
I mean,
why are you so worked up?
You can't have a poll.
You're arguing apples and oranges.
You can't have a poll because you can't put anybody next to Belichick.
You can't.
What is wrong with you?
I mean, anyone that would vote.
Bill Walsh or Bill Belichick.
They're not coaching right
you
now.
You can't have it. You can't have a poll. You know, can't do it.
You know, you well, really.
You are
can't.
So defensive.
And really, anyone that would. Pick,
no one can be second. Bill can't beat anybody.
It's a distant second. It's a distant second.
Just help Fred out.
What is wrong with you?
You're beautiful. I love you.
What? I respect
I love you.
Bill Belichick's greatness.
Mark Cape.
You know? What can I say?
I respect his greatness, too.
I respect his greatness, too. That doesn't mean I don't think anybody deserves to be second behind him. You don't.
It's not worth having a poll.
He ran unopposed. Sports Nation's first ever unopposed
poll. He thinks it would be an insult if you put a poll up there and had another guy finish second.
I think it would be because it would be Bill Belichick 98% and some guy, you know, that is a relative of some coach voting for that coach.
You can't even think of a name to say the relative of.
I can't. I can't put anybody in the same conversation. It's anathema to me.
You know, Eric's not here right now.
I know. I can't use that word.
So they shouldn't have had a poll, though, because, I mean, it was close to 90% for Manning, so they shouldn't have had a poll. There's nobody else to run second.
Because they hate Brady.
They hate Brady.
Why they hate him, I have no idea.
Why wouldn't they hate Bill? Why couldn't you put Mike Tomlin's Super Bowl?
I happen to think
anybody.
So one of the beat writers from Indy would take Brady, but. But a poll, from Stupid Sports Nation on ESPN.
Stupid Sports.
I think Belichick is a lot more hated nationally than Brady.
I do, too. And my point is they would click Bill Belichick.
No. And I think Belichick would win that by a wider margin.
Because there's no other option.
Because it's a landslide. Because even though they hate him, they realize, there's no one close.
I don't think they hate Brady is my point. I think that people would pick
Manning.
People
hate
Brady.
That's all. They can't stand him. I think people hate Brady the way people around here used to hate Manning.
Oh, you're out of your mind. Anyway.
Brady with his girlfriend and all this stuff.
Well, that's just shocking.
They hate him.
But anyway, let me change the subject because I saw another really good thing yesterday. One of those NFL Live things, and Brewski was on it, which, by the way, every time I see him, he's even better.
Right.
But jeez. This is his
hit off, Bruce.
This is his home run. don't confuse me with Andy.
Okay.
No, I don't lust after men like you do.
There's a
distinct difference.
This is a great one for him because you can really see how passionate he was about it. They started off the show, Freddie, with two or three clips. It was like a montage of clips of, great moments with Patriots, Colts. They had the McGinnis play on the goal line. The strip that Brewski himself had against Dominic Rhodes. Then they showed Manning, hand the ball off to Adai, and they ran the ball. And then by the time they went, to the studio, and Trey Wingo sets it up now, and Brewski's like ready to climb over the desk, and he's all excited. It was all we and they too,
right.
which if he did that every week, it would kind of bother me. But this time, I think it's great because you can see how much he cared about it, And he's like, when we played the Indianapolis Colts, we knew that we could just punch them in the mouth and they wouldn't fight back. And they were soft. We thought they were soft, and we beat them.
Except for the last few years.
And then in the 2006 AFC Championship game, there it is, and they show the scoreboard. It's like 102 left, and the whole situation. And then they go, and then you watch, and they ran the ball. They ran the ball. And you know how dramatic Teddy gets?
Right.
And he was so good. It was just – you could see how excited he was about this game in And then, Trey Wingo started making fun of him a little bit because he was getting all wound up. And Schlereth was there, and actually for one of the few times, because I don't really think a lot of him.
Yeah.
But he was actually adding some insight passion.
Because Teddy would have popped him in the face.
Especially with all the weight that Schlereth lost after he got off the program.
I'd like to see Teddy Bruce.
Are you serious?
Punch.
In this discussion.
Schlereth, Merrill Hodge. And a couple of the others right in the face.
Merrill Hodge, by the way, picked the Patriots.
No,
according
Jackson,
to Bob Kravitz said that Merrill Hodge was on Bob Kravitz's show yesterday and detailed all these different things of why the Patriots are going to win.
Really? I'm surprised.
We'll see if he says that on TV.
Shocker. Let's see.
I think there are a lot of factors favoring the Patriots. I'm worried about the home field. Not that the Patriots can't win on the road, but I think Indy plays that much tougher at home.
Yeah.
You have to respect Manning. But
absolutely.
There's a lot of factors that are on the Patriots' side.
Here. Absolutely. Alejandro says, Pelion sucks. Hello,
Christmas.
Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. A little jersey talk. I think Eric is the only one of PFW who could wear a turtleneck. It could be, yeah.
I couldn't get it over my head, so I'm out.
I used to wear a lot of turtlenecks, but they're kind of not really in.
Fred doesn't really have a neck.
If Andy wore a turtleneck,
really
his whole head
anymore.
Would look like a tree trunk.
Better than a penis.
I don't like turtlenecks.
I used to wear.
I'm not surprised.
I used to wear a
you
lot of.
You don't button your shirts.
Yeah. I don't like the confinement.
It's because you have a big neck.
Andy could not pull his head through. Paul would fight the cashier woman before buying it, and Fred would tear it to expose his hairy chest.
True.
On to football. You're all jealous. Although, by the way, Andy was wearing something yesterday, and
hair
was just sprouting.
All kinds.
Got
to groom this.
You know how,
thing.
Like, in the old time.
All kinds of cheese hanging out.
Is that what it's called, cheese?
You know,
when
the old days,
like,
they'd have the picture of the woman coming out of the supermarket in her bag. She'd have, like, the celery sticks sticking out of the top of the.
Yes.
That's what Andy's shirt. He had all this hair sticking up out of his shirt.
I got to trim it or
and
something.
It wasn't even, like, good looking hair. It was, like, the cancer hair. It was,
you
like,
think
really thin and not good looking.
You think your hair is good looking?
Yeah.
Because you're full of crap.
It's full and vibrant.
What is cancer hair, first of all? Can we go down that road?
The scraggly type. I put conditioner on my chest. I use conditioner on my chest hair just to give it.
He says that like Ted Knight.
Just to give it some bounce.
After offending cancer patients throughout the globe.
The chest hair actually makes my shirt come out and makes my chest look bigger.
So your fat chest makes your chest look bigger.
Your chest hair does not look good ever. I'm not saying mine does because I'll be trimming this, but can I borrow your man groomer?
Yeah, you really need to trim that. It's like coming up.
Trouble is, I trimmed
it
once.
About to strangle
and
you.
Now I think it's growing faster and more. Now I got
to
trim it.
You need to train it down. It like goes up. It's weird. It's like anti-gravity.
You know what I think it stems from?
What?
When I had shoulder surgery in college.
Oh, here we go.
They shaved my whole chest to put all the things on, and boy, did it grow back thicker, darker, and it was like the, what do you call it?
The Black Forest. The Black Forest.
It's no freaking myth.
That's a myth.
You'll know with your ears that you started shaving since that guy started criticizing him.
How hairy are your ankles?
Hairy are my ankles?
Yeah. I assume that you shave your ankles every
year.
They're
hairy,
but
my legs are hairy, so you couldn't tell.
Okay.
Have you seen how hairy my legs are?
But they're hairier now because you used to shave them every... Because I
know, my point is my legs are ridiculously hairy. You couldn't tell no matter what.
Yeah, it's a myth.
If I threw grass seed on Gillette Stadium, you wouldn't tell grass was growing. It's all green.
I'm going to start shaving my head, see what happens.
I wish you would.
See if it grows back in thicker.
You'd look a lot... Speaking of that, Doc, have you lost a little lately?
Hasn't been lately. It's been continually.
Noticeably more gone.
I got a haircut over the weekend.
Why bother?
Yeah, why don't you shave it? You and Paul, why don't you go together and both shave it? Because you both got nothing up there.
I've said that I would.
So has Paul. He actually made a bet and reneged on the bet after he lost.
No, that was different.
Okay, go ahead. Proceed.
Nothing further. I just said that was different.
Just shave it. Give it up. Both of you. Go together. There'll be unity
My
there.
Wife prefers that I
That's
keep what I
have. Says, too.
That's the same problem
I'm
I
not
have.
Buying it.
I'm not buying it
Because I told my wife that I'd be all for bicking my head completely, and
well,
she
I don't
goes,
wanna,
why don't you just let it happen on its own?
I don't
no,
want to
I just
do that.
Mean shave the top.
Yeah, I just want to...
The scragglers. You can keep the old man around the edges thing. I kind of like that.
Well, no, I just want to like shave it kind of like Eric's. Just like... You know, not bicked so it's bald, completely bald, but shave it down.
Plus
so
bick, you
got
to do
what
it.
What do you got left? Like,
you go no
half
blade
an inch
or
a
half
quarter
blade
inch or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That's all.
It.
But
Fred wouldn't know.
What? I'm going bald.
Yeah, but you just have that spot in the middle.
Then they'll just transplant your chest to
I
your
get
head.
The yarmulke in the back.
Yeah. That's what I started with, but now it's completely, it's having a race to the forehead now. That's
maybe,
the problem.
Maybe we can get an implant. Company to
Dr. Robert Leonard.
The first surgery I need is the LASIK. I got to get the eyes done.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Not the LiPo.
Get glasses.
You know, LASIK
get
before LiPo.
I have contact lenses.
So LiPo. Why do you need LASIK?
Because I'm sick of wearing them.
LiPo. I know, but they don't know the LiPo. How LiPo. Good that really is long term.
It's very good.
No, it works. It's but they don't good. Know the long term effects yet.
You probably have to have it maintained. You probably have to go in and get another surgery in 10 years. But
I could never get
so you
that.
Would get very LASIK good. Surgery before hair implants, if both for free?
Does that work? Does hair implants work?
Sure.
Because I don't. I always look at that
Ted
as
Ted Danson.
Like, I look at that as witch doctor.
Ted Danson was bald. He lost all his hair. Now he's got a head of hair.
But how do you know he doesn't wear a wig or what he does?
But I don't know. Maybe there's one of our listeners that have had because they have.
I've heard horror
procedures.
Stories from it.
Oh,
some
sure,
people hate it.
I know. People who've had plugs and stuff like that, and it looks absolutely ridiculous. Every single person I know that's done it, it looks silly. It
looks stupid.
But I don't know if I always look at that as kind of witch doctor stuff, you know.
No, they have good procedures.
Maybe
now.
They do. I don't know. It
anyway.
Doesn't bother me that much. There are times on TV where it bothers me.
Yeah.
Because it looks, I mean, it looks so bald, but in everyday life, it doesn't bother me at all.
No, let's see. Alejandro
can't see it walking
continues
around.
To say...
I see myself in the mirror, Andy. I know where I don't have hair. I know what
true.
I look like.
You are bothered by what you see in the mirror. You've admitted it.
Yeah, it's my belly.
So
football. You wouldn't get lipo?
Yeah, but
no.
see, with our weight, we can control that. We
well,
really
that's my
can.
Fault.
If we wanted to do
theoretically.
It,
that's my fault that I look
the hair,
like that.
We have no control over.
Exactly.
So
that's why it doesn't bother me as much.
But if someone offered, say, hey, Paul, look. All you got to do is plug us on the show. I'll give you free implants. I'm reputable.
If I had done some research and I had some medical opinions that said that's okay, then yeah, sure, I would be willing to do
I mean,
that
our
job.
Listeners usually know everything about everything. So if anyone has insight,
it's a good
on,
topic
like,
on a Thursday with the
what
Colts
the advances
game coming up.
Have been and like how good it can be, then let's hear it.
Well, I guarantee you there's people in the locker room you could ask, media members that have had it. I guarantee it.
Media members?
I guarantee it.
Our media?
I guarantee it. Like I don't know who they are.
Like who?
I don't know. Well, Mike Adams does commercials for
it. Here's where I'm playing the role of you to me.
But
I'm trying to
I
get
guarantee you,
to out you
Steve Buckley.
No, he just dies it.
Butch Stearns. There's guys with questionable that I don't know which direction they're going, coming back, going to, losing it, gaining it.
There's guys. I guarantee you there's guys.
So I also think I'm too far gone, where I think it would be such a contrast that would look so funny.
Well, you do it gradual. You know, over like 2 years.
Hey, didn't you used to have a bald spot?
I don't know what
happened.
You know, I don't know what happened.
It just started growing back.
I changed my diet. I started exercising. And,
my hair grew back.
Yeah.
You're a funny guy.
People will really buy that one.
On to football. Neither New England or Indy passed the eyeball test on defense. So how do you interpret their 1-2 NFL rank in scoring defense? Do they pad their stats against inferior competence? Or is it because teams fall behind and are forced to score touchdowns and go for it on fourth down, even in field goal range? I predict a shootout with the Colts failing to keep up. Patriots 34, Colts 27.
Well, the Patriots benefited from the shutout in the snow, and even then a week later against the unbeaten, the winless Bucks. But I'm the point where it's midseason. It's a big enough sampling. I'm kind of believing.
And I think both teams are in that category. I think they have benefited from a lack of competence, as the email said, for the opposition offensively. But I'm with Andy. I mean, it's 8 games now. That's half a season. And I think both teams have sort of shown that they have the capability of playing pretty good defense. Are they the best two defenses in football? No, I don't think they are.
You know, and overall,
if they had that poll, pick a defense to win a game, and it said, I wouldn't necessarily pick Patriots or Colts if I needed one defense to win a game.
No, they would I'd probably go to like a Pittsburgh, even though they're not playing as well this year as they have in the past.
Yeah.
Someone like that. I'll tell you who's playing really well defensively all year is the Jets.
Yep.
But their offense is killing them.
Ridiculous, some of the Jets.
Yeah, and I would say that as far as offenses, there's really only a handful of teams in the league that week in and week out you can say they have a good, you know, really good offense.
Yeah, I think that's probably true on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
There's really only a handful that I would say are really good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why the Patriots, the Colts, and the Steelers and those teams are really good is because they're among the handful on both sides.
Yeah.
So do we get back to coaching? Obviously, Belichick here, and do we say Caldwell did a good job bringing in, what's his name?
Larry Coyer?
Yeah. Because that's one of his stamps, right? He made that change?
Yeah, well, Meeks left. Ron Meeks left.
But it sounds like
this was his guy.
He was leaving no matter what. He was making a change. Yeah.
Well, it seems that way.
Yeah.
Seems that way.
I think you have to give him some credit for doing that.
And again, getting back to the anecdote that Andy told earlier from Bob Kravitz, which I thought was really interesting. He said, again, we don't know what the past is between Bob Kravitz and Tony Dungy, but Jim Caldwell has coached this team better than Dungy ever did. You know, he's done a better job in his first 8 games than Dungy ever did. Specifically, he said defense and special teams are vastly.
He said bringing in Coyer, and then he said just special teams, the improvement, the emphasis he's put on that.
I think the point being is, I think what he's probably basing that on is, I think he looks at this team and he says, this is the least talented Indianapolis team we've probably had in the last decade, and yet we're 8-0.
Still producing, right.
And I if that's the reasoning, I would agree with him, because you look at those, you know, like we said yesterday, all the talk about, well, Manning's always had the weapons. Well, he's showing you now that he doesn't need the weapons because he's doing it with
Peter Waiter. And
he's doing it with Jags just like everybody else. And
he did say those two guys have looked a lot like rookies the last few weeks, especially in the red zone. They've been part of it. Collie and
Peter Waiter is a lot like that Manningham guy for the Giants. He started out, it's like, wow, right out of the gate, you know, he's now going to be a number two receiver here, and he kind of dropped off too.
It happens.
That might be Manning.
But that's why I say with the defenses, you know, 8 games, you know, you can have a month, 3 weeks, whatever, where you get misled, a guy has a great. But 8 games, they are what they are on defense.
Pretty good sampling, as they say.
And this is, I don't even care about the stats. This is what I fall back on, the eyeball thing.
Yep.
You look at this defense, the Patriots defense, and you look at it compared to what we've seen the last year, and there's no difference. I mean, there's no comparison.
No comparison.
I shouldn't say no difference. No comparison.
Right.
They're playing much, much better. It's not a steady stream of guys dropping passes in key spots. I mean, they've had their share of breaks, but there's not been a steady stream of that. That's the only time we ever got off the field before, is when the other team did something wrong. You know, last year, it was hold on to your hat every single game.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On it right now is Phil from Indiana.
Phil,
how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right, fellas. How are you doing today?
Now, are you our Colts fan?
Am I a Colts fan? No.
Oh, okay.
No, we have a couple of guys that are Colts fans that listen occasionally and write in.
They're from Indiana.
And we have been calling for them to, you know, so we could talk about the game. So we were wondering if you were one of them.
No, I heard that on listening to yesterday's show on podcast, and here to get them to call in. And I like, well, I can call it. I'm from Indiana. Now I'm a transplant. My wife and I right. are from Maine. We've been out here for 20 years. And about the only thing I hear is the Patriots cheat. Wow. It doesn't matter. That's all they say is they cheat. The refs are in their back pocket. They can't play football.
Well, that's
they just
true.
Suck.
yeah. Well,
I think that
what are you gonna do?
You hear some of the same stuff here going that way. That the Colts pump in music,
pump in the
they
noise.
Do this. Polian's got the ear of the competition committee. If you need something changed,
they change the rules. They change the rules. They pump in noise, the crowd noise. They made the dome hotter for the AFC Championship game. Fred thinks they're spraying the H1N1 virus at the Patriots bench.
I heard you guys say that.
It wasn't you guys. That was Fred.
Fred, okay. Good job, Fred.
I'll take credit for it. I'm not afraid.
Up until 2 years ago, I was allowed to go every time the Patriots came to town because my wife's company she works for has season tickets. But the venom has gotten so bad, I can only go to preseason games now. They will not let a Patriots fan in there.
Well, that's good.
Happen.
Now you avoid the rat droppings in the food that they sell there, right?
Well, never rate it too expensive. Bring your own, man. Bring your own. But I want to let you know, you guys, you do a great job. I enjoy hearing your accents. I used to have one of those myself, and now it's gone. But I like Liz a little bit of home, and it's good that you guys have got this on the radio for us.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate it.
I've actually had Monday off because working with the UAW, we celebrate Veterans Day Monday. So I can stay up late and watch the game. Thought it'd be a good one.
Well, good. Enjoy it. Hopefully it is a good one with a Patriots victory.
Fred's
predicting a blowout. I'm going to tease his pick from later.
I am.
These games never disappoint. They're
Fred's predicting it's going to disappoint.
Well, it's not going to disappoint if you're a Patriots fan.
No, but I mean in the competitive aspect.
It's going to surprise a lot of people. Yep.
Well, I think we need to, as fans, we need to be just that. We need to look at the game as football fans. And I have never downed the Indianapolis Colts. They're good. You can't take that from them. They are good. And the Patriots are going to have to play football, or they're going to not come home happy.
You know, again, you know, it's the same thing as looking at it, well, there's 8 games now. Well, it's been about 10 years now, you know, and every year they're in it. And
it went in a phase. It went all Patriots for a while. Now it's gone all Colts pretty much for a while.
You can't not be a great team and do what they've done.
Right.
No, they are. They absolutely are. And I respect the team. Hope they lose.
I hope they get their asses kicked.
All right.
That too.
Yep.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
See you, Phil.
You know, because in Indiana, they don't swear in the Midwest.
That's funny, though.
I'm crass.
It's funny that they used to let them go to the games all the time. They just decided, no, you root for the Patriots. You can't come anymore.
Yep.
Those nice Midwesterners that you're complimenting, Fred.
They really don't swear?
Not as much as here.
They do.
Not as much as the Northeast.
Bullshit.
Exactly. Eric writes in.
I didn't say it. I stopped at the sh.
Eric has something. I guess Eric.
Why is Eric emailing in? He's not.
No, this
to the
is
show.
Another Eric writing about Eric. He says at Bill's press conference Monday after
the
Dolphins
game. What's going
on
over here?
Scalavino asked Bill a question about Moss's 71-yard touchdown catch and run. Specifically, Eric asked, "Quote: Who was the primary receiver on that play?" Bill essentially undressed Eric. Had that under his breath scoff and responded, "There's never a primary receiver except on a screenplay." And then Bill went on to explain how Tom makes reads and picks the receiver to go to. Well,
okay.
Later that same day, Eric writes a piece for PFW.com discussing the same Moss touchdown. And he says this, and I quote, "Now, in order to appreciate fully how this play unfolded, one must understand that in the Patriots offense, there are no primary receivers, the exception being on screenplays where there is but one intended receiver. On virtually every other play, it's read and react. Wow, Eric, one must understand, huh? You didn't even understand, and now you say it so matter-of-factly. What's worse is you give no credit for your seemingly at-hand knowledge. You should have credited Bill and said something like, as Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, said at his press conference when asked the primary receiver on the play was, et cetera, et cetera. But you did not do that, and that speaks volumes. That is essentially plagiarism. Andy, you cannot let him get away with that. And, Eric, as for the phrase, one must understand enough. You're a sports writer, son, not a professor of economics. Loosen up and write like a dude.
I don't necessarily fault him for not crediting the knowledge that he gained in the press conference, but the pompous one must understand when he didn't understand it a couple hours earlier is classic Eric. It's Scalavino at his best. Love
Fred,
him or hate him, it
Fred,
is what it is.
Do you see Eric's response
yeah,
to
Eric,
that email?
Eric has a response
he
to that.
He replied to him?
Yeah, you got to read the reply.
Evidently, Fred's been right about this. What's he doing?
Let's see. Eric's reply to the other Eric is, nice try, counselor. In fact, the exact wording of my question was, is there a primary receiver on that play, or is so on? And at that point, Bill cut me off. The second part of my question was, is it all read and react? I already knew the answer and was leading the witness to use a tactic I'm sure you're familiar with, being in the legal profession and all. Having talked to players about this offense many times before, I've heard them hint that there aren't primary receivers, but they never explain why. I got what I was looking for from Bill, a precise explanation from the most reliable of sources. You're right, though. He did have a bit of an off-putting air at first, but it is what it is. Oh, wait, is that plagiarism? So Eric's response.
Well, first of all, they don't hint at that whole thing. Bill has used that rant in the past. This offense, there's no number one receiver. It's whoever's open. We go through our reads. It's dictated by the coverage, the defense, the pre-snap. I mean, well, Bill and Brady have done that a million
Eric
times.
If Eric was really those other pompous writers, he's like, now, I know you don't have primary receivers.
Right.
You know, he would try to show off his knowledge first. But Eric, you know, if Eric's telling the truth, he went at it in a way that it will elicit a response that he was looking for, which is...
Sure. But I liked, actually, Brady post-game said, basically... He was talking about Wes. He and Randy are our primary reads pretty much on every play. And those are the facts. You don't have a true number one. You don't just fixate on one guy. You don't have the Randy ratio. But you know what? When Brady looks up, there's two guys that he's trying to find, Welker, Moss, and who's covering him. So it's as close to primary reads as you're going to get.
Greg in D.C. Says a question for Fred. So Peyton Manning looks like a penis, huh? So is that what you saw on Geno's hip in your dream last summer, Peyton's face? Is that still awkward when you see Geno around
Hello.
The stadium? I think Sunday night, that'd be weird.
To see Peyton Manning's face
on
Geno's
hip, and then he started talking. You
it
know?
Would be very weird.
Anyway, Hello. I think Sunday night.
Weirder or less weird than actually seeing a penis on Geno's hip?
Right. Well, it's a unit. It was the whole thing.
What's up, baby?
What? You mean it had testicles as well?
The whole thing, yeah.
Now, was it his only one? Did he have two?
No.
So it was misplaced?
Yeah.
What was in the other spot?
I don't know. It was a dream. You know how those things are.
I didn't know if he was like
a
hermaphrodite.
I'm sorry, but no, I don't know how those things are, because I've never had a dream with someone's unit on a hip.
Puts a new thing, hip bones connected to the unit.
Everybody in the elevator was trying to pretend not, you know, like... looking around and not pretending to see it.
And Fred was like, what's that?
Pretending not to
not
see it.
Not pretending to
Pretending not
it.
To see it, you know? Anyway, this is still...
You're the only one who's ever seen it.
This is still Greg's
In your little
email.
Psychotic mind.
I think Sunday night will be a Ben Watson game. With the young corners, the Colts will have to stick almost exclusively to a deep cover two to protect the young cornerbacks, which should allow Watson one-on-one matchups with linebackers down the seam. I know people say this every time the Pats play a cover two team, but given the circumstances and Watson's recent uptick in performance, I think this is finally the time.
Well, you know how it is with guys like Watson and Maroney. For every uptick, there's a downtick. Eric, you got a practice update?
Eric's here.
Eric was not released yesterday. Contrary
he was not released
to some published reports.
Well, it's cold out there.
What one must understand is in Foxborough.
Is it cold?
It's sometimes chilly and windy.
Eric's putting on his microphone condom.
There is no primary weather here in Foxborough. One must understand.
Did you read both my response and his thing?
Yes, yeah. Counselor. It is what it is.
We just got finished with that.
It's good stuff, no?
No, it's
good. We had a chick fight between two Erics.
One with a C and one with a K.
They both had C's.
Oh, see now, that's just not right.
I can't
right.
make fun of Andy because he beat me.
That's just not right.
That's really not right, Andy.
Meow.
Kind of funny, but not right.
So, all right, go.
Okay,
what do you got, Eric?
Same
we
as yesterday.
Have to do picks,
same
so.
As yesterday. Moss was there.
Moss was there.
Yep. So that's it. That's all you got to know.
Everything same with yesterday, except Moss was there.
That's what I'm saying.
And Ty Warren is or isn't there?
Is there.
But.
It's radio, not by, Eric. Not by reading the injury report, you wouldn't know that.
That has confounded you in recent weeks, no?
Really has.
Well, he goes
what do you
down
make of it?
Limited participation.
No.
From what I'm hearing.
Did not participate.
Did not?
From what I'm hearing, participation from a pretty reliable source, what I'm hearing is.
Burt Breer?
No. I said a pretty reliable source.
Wow, Mike Reese?
Is that...
So Mike Reese, okay.
Aren't you not supposed to name your source?
I didn't name my source. Andy was trying to guess the source. I did not confirm nor deny.
Shot down the option I gave.
I'll shoot one idiotic one down, yeah,
wow.
Of course.
He knows I'm kidding. Proceed. He's not listening.
That participation...
A knit sweater today?
Oh, my God.
With a rolled crew neck? Is that what that's referred to?
Maybe? I think that's what that's referred to.
A rolled crew neck?
Yeah.
Looks like it just got stretched out by my head. Why would my head be in your sweater?
Yeah, it kind of looks like foreskin.
Oh, God.
Now you know foreskin from Gino's hip.
Oh.
Okay, proceed.
So participation, from what I'm hearing, includes team drills, which take place after stretching and after the little positional work that takes place that we're privy to.
That would certainly substantiate the way they've been doing it.
Yes. So that makes things a little bit clearer. But we were under the impression that just showing up meant you participated.
Right.
I never said that.
So when they
why you really need to just go with those not seen during the media window of practice.
That's what
included.
Right.
Well, that's what we write every time.
No,
that's
I know, but you really got to, because you're not saying anything. There's really nothing being said.
Exactly.
There. The guy could run out the second you leave, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, same injured guys as yesterday. Moss was back, but his wasn't injury related.
He hasn't practiced the first practice of the week.
That's been a trend.
That's his deal.
That's been a trend lately.
That's his
You're
deal.
Right. Randy's rules.
Yeah.
But full pads, as we predicted yesterday, the one big day of hit, or well, maybe they'll do it tomorrow too, but definitely a hitting day today. Outside.
Outdoors.
Outdoors, yep. Still cold. No music from what we could see or hear.
Hmm.
Couldn't see the music.
Interesting.
Speakers is what I was thinking of. And, you know,
what do we make of that? Anything?
Maybe they'll do it tomorrow. I'm thinking Friday because it's
in
the special
stadium,
teams
maybe?
Practice. No, I mean in the
dome.
In the in the field house, because maybe they'll try to simulate those conditions, pump some music in. We'll see.
Why wouldn't they just practice? They're not inside, right?
No, they're outside on the training camp fields.
It's interesting.
Okay.
Maybe they're going to leave the roof open and the window open. It's going to be windy in the.
A lot of media today,
Luke.
Eric.
Nah, not any more than usual.
No.
No.
Interest down for the.
I think.
Game?
Well, I think Andy's.
No.
I think Andy had it right. The game is in Indy, so maybe they're all. Maybe most of the national people are there.
According to Paul, they flew everybody over there.
No, that was you that said that. I was making fun of them for going.
You should probably take a break.
Why?
Because don't we usually take a break?
Because you haven't taken one this whole hour.
And we have picks coming
and
up.
And we have picks coming
up. We've got to rush through them. It's getting late.
Oh, we have so many good emails. All right.
So
anyway.
Read one right before. Go ahead. Go.
And then read
real
about
quick.
Five more after it, because we always have time for picks.
All right. So why don't we go through the picks, and then if we have time.
Why don't you read an email right now?
Yeah,
and then
read
we'll
a quick email,
picks.
Then we'll go to break.
You don't do anything quick, do you?
Snowy wipes.
Oh.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCAS phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. It's Thursday. And there's music playing, so that must mean only one thing.
Music never plays on this show.
It's
somewhat
time to
distinctive
go
music.
NFL.
Are you not going to do those emails that you said you were going to read?
I said we'd do them.
You said you had good ones. Read one of them.
I said we'll do it afterwards if we have time. So a little
if we have time.
A little incentive
so
for
in
you
the
guys.
Last
okay, go.
Of the show.
Ready, Paul, go.
No,
picks now.
No, hold on. All right, last week.
I respect our emailers too much for us to babble while they don't get to pick.
Yeah, there's a change. Change at the top. Eric Scalavino.
Whoa!
Bum, bum, bum,
first time ever.
10-3.
He's built like a Kenyan.
Andy was 9-4. Paul and Fred were 7-6.
Oof.
With the spread, Eric 8-5. Paul and Andy 6-7. Fred 4-9.
Wow.
So that leaves the standings thusly.
Best results Eric ever had with a spread in his life.
There's a tie at the top between the Kenyan and the Ethiopian.
Oh, I'm still tied?
Andy and Eric, 88-41.
Woo! Kenyan.
I am 5 games back at 83-46.
I eat too much to be.
And then there's Fred, 79-50.
Taking it on the chin.
With the spread, Eric and Paul are tied with at the top, 69-59-1.
Different spread entirely
from Paul. Oh, my.
Andy, 67-61-1, and Fred, 58-70-1.
You are
no way.
12 games behind 500.
Hello.
All right. So tonight, NFL Network, the debut, the 2009 debut of Thursday Night Football.
Yes, I will
take NFL Network. Chicago at San Francisco. Niners minus three. Go.
Chicago at San Francisco. Niners minus three. I will take the Bears to win. Thank you. Go.
I will take the Niners to win and cover.
Not so fast.
I am going to take San Francisco.
Yeah, Chicago's having trouble these days with their defense.
Big, big day from Jay Cutler.
Yeah, I'm going to go with San Francisco.
I say he throws for four Bills and four touchdowns.
I had Niners winning cover.
San Fran. What's the number?
Three.
Yeah, San Fran all the way.
All right, moving right along. Jacksonville is at the Meadowlands to take on the Jets, coming off a bye. Jets by 7.
Jets will win. And they will cover thanks to a turnover late that will get them over the number. But the Jets defense just too good. Haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher, 300-yard passer, or 100-yard receiver, but with Maurice Jones-Drew, only the first statistic is mildly relevant.
I agree
what about Mike Sims-Walker?
I don't know who he is.
Number 11? Is that what that is?
Good reason. Good, like that. Yeah, he's for
pretty
the,
good.
Jags.
Pretty good for the Jags.
I'm anti-hyphens.
I will take the Jets to win. I will take the Jags with the number.
I will take the Jets.
Laughing at that or what you just saw on TV?
Bo Jackson, baby.
Oh. I'm going to take the Jets to win and cover, I think, 2 weeks.
Just so you know, it moved.
With that loss.
Aww.
I didn't think they went on them.
Well, I think that the Jets.
Jacksonville's a bad team,
I think
too.
The Jets win, it's but so they ridiculous. Don't cover. I think Jacksonville's playing a little better, and I think the Jets are spiraling.
Their passes or their team?
I agree with your last part, but I don't agree with your first part. Jacksonville's okay. terrible.
9-3 victory for the Raiders. Good job, Bo.
All right, Andy. Denver is at Washington to face the Redskins. Redskins are a home dog. They're getting 3.5.
That's a good small number. I like it. Shaking things up in Denver. Russ Hochstein replacing Ben Hamilton in the starting lineup. Hamilton, one of the long-standing starters on the O-line. I like
Come on,
Russ.
Doc.
Hi there.
There you go.
I like Josh.
Why can't I be the center?
They bounce back, and they get it done against a fraudulent Redskins team.
Yep.
Well, not fraudulent. I mean, they are who they are, which is dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional. Yeah, they're a bad team. I like Denver to get off the schneid and to cover.
Yeah, I do too. I like Denver in this game.
Yeah, I got to go with Denver in this game. But if Josh carries on the sideline, I hope one of those pigs in the dress come down and pounds him right in the head.
All right, game of the day, not the night.
Oh,
the
I was
going
to say.
The day.
We already have the Pats call.
The day.
Cincinnati at Pittsburgh for a battle atop the AFC North. Steelers, I think this is a big number, 7 points.
Steelers will win.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
And you know what? He is ridiculous. He has another big second half, and he single-handedly once again carries them to victory and coverage over the somewhat fraudulent Bengals.
You know who's ridiculous?
Mendenhall.
No. You are ridiculous.
Mendenhall.
No, no. You.
Mendenhall.
No, no. You.
Mendenhall.
Never going to get to any
emails. Cincinnati is going to win this game in the upset, Paul. Wow. Upset in quotes. I know they're both 5-2.
That's 7-point spread. That's an upset, my friend.
I'll take Cincinnati.
You would.
I think
I picked
Steelers,
Pittsburgh enough this year. I picked
you
them
hate
last
Roethlisberger.
Week to beat
That's
Denver.
The bottom line.
The Steelers win
game,
the game.
I've been picking them all year.
The Bengals cover, Freddie. Wow. Seven's too many to me.
The league has a rule that every big game that the Steelers play has to be in Pittsburgh.
competition committee rule? Is that? Yeah.
So
made that
I'm going to pick
last week wasn't a big game. Man.
Again, I'll split the difference again and say Pittsburgh wins, but do not cover.
Freddie, you know where we're going next year, right?
London to play the Colts?
No, Denver to see Josh McDaniels again.
Yeah, is that definite?
Well, if we win.
We play the AFC West?
That's the floater game.
And
if we win the East,
so we're at AFC West.
AFC
one.
West.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Something for them next year.
Well, unless we don't win the division.
A little something.
Buffalo was at Tennessee, in which arguably could be the worst game of the day. Arguably, because there's a couple other really bad ones.
I'm going to go with a
Tennessee by
week.
6.5.
I'm going to pick the players I like, not the teams I like. I like Vince Young. I'll take Tennessee at home. Plus, T.O. hurt, I think, not playing.
Yeah, something like that.
That'll help him. It's my quarterback. What an idiot.
I will agree with the Kenyan. I'll take Tennessee.
I thought you wanted to be the Kenyan.
Yeah, but you said you eat more than...
Why can't I be the Kenyan?
I will take Tennessee to win the game, Freddie, but I'm going to take Buffalo.
I'm going there
to
next
cover.
Year, by the way.
Can 6.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the upset maybe. Here. I'll take Buffalo to win what? This game. I think, you know, Tennessee's done
white
all right.
Meat.
But a tough AFC East team comes in there and beats them.
Hi there.
I wasn't listening.
Sorry, they're mad because we're having a side conversation.
No, he's mad because Fred said something ridiculously stupid, and because we were having a side conversation, we weren't there to call him on it.
No, he didn't.
Oh.
You said that something's ridiculously stupid.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
And as usual, Fred has
that
no
makes
idea.
It the same as every other show we've ever done here.
What the hell are you guys up to now?
Detroit is at Minnesota, Andy, where the Vikings are favored by 16.5.
Well, I'll take the Vikings to win, although it's beginning. He's breaking down, you see, hip, groin, there's a couple other issues for Brett Favre,
yeah,
and they're playing
it
all
about
up.
Everything, yeah.
So it's beginning, the downfall.
Brett Favre. Downfall.
I'll take the points. It's a big number.
Yeah, I'll take the Favre's to win, but I'll like those points. So I'll take the Lions with that number.
Nah. I'll take the Vikings. I'll lay the points.
Schwartzy's going to get it done. He's not happy with what's going on. It's going to be
better. Stafford's really – I think he's going to be good, but he's making a lot of picks. He's made some good throws. You watch him? Yeah, I stopped myself before I even said it.
If I were going to watch any games, do you think the Lions would be there?
No, I didn't ask if you watched the games. I'm asking if you've seen highlights.
Nope.
I think he's made some good throws, but he's made a lot of mistakes, too.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'll just say that Detroit covers. So,
all right. Moving right along, young Andy. New Orleans is at St. Louis, where the Rams are getting an astronomical 13.5 at home.
Oof. It's astronomical, but I don't think it's out of line. I will take the New Orleans Saints to win and cover on the road.
Saints not worrying you with their little struggles lately, huh?
Not against that team. Big numbers.
Yeah, I have to agree. I like the Saints on the road, at home. Doesn't matter. Against this team, they're going to put up points.
Yeah, Freddie, I ruined her soundbite today.
She get all mad at you?
People no. don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you were pointing to Wendy Nixon making faces, so I thought
TV.
You were talking about her. And, yeah, she was getting a soundbite from Adalys Thomas, and I kind of stepped on it.
Yeah, I'll take the Saints as well.
Yeah, you got to go with the Saints.
No, she's not.
It's so upset. It's scary, though, because they have a pretty favorable schedule. It's going to have to be the Patriots breaking their record as well.
That was all you had? Okay, sorry. Atlanta at Carolina.
That was all? That's the most he's ever had.
Atlanta at Carolina. Panthers getting a point and a half at home.
Oh, Atlanta, Carolina, who are ye? I'm going to take Carolina at home. I really don't know why. I just, they'll run the ball again. Matt Ryan, overexposed, Paul. I'm calling him overexposed. Every time I turn on the TV, he's doing a commercial for something. Some of them here at Gillette Stadium for Gillette Razors and stuff.
Del Rio.
I like Atlanta in this game. They're the better team, and I think they've been struggling a little bit lately, but I think they right themselves against this Carolina team. Division game. They need it.
If I'm going to take Atlanta, too, but if Carolina didn't blow that game last week the way they did, I think I would be more apt to take them. I think they're going to have a big letdown because I think that was their last shot to get back into it. There was a chance to get to 500, and they kicked the game away late, and I think Atlanta finds a way to win this one.
Me, too. I'm going to go with Atlanta. Have you seen the commercial? I tried to explain to Andy the other day with Matt Ryan. He's on the airplane, and the kid next to him is a big fan. He's, like, taking all of Matt Ryan's stuff. Mm-mm. And then the next scene, you see Matt Ryan walking out of the bathroom, and he's got no shirt on. It's just his undershirt, and he sees the waitress, and he goes, have you seen a shirt?
No, haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen that one.
And what's it for?
I think it's for the airline. I think. I don't know. What.
It's a good advertisement for the airline. Come right. Fly our airways. You get your clothes stolen. Tampa Bay is
better
at Miami.
If he came out with his shirt off and a flight attendant coming out of the bathroom with him.
Oh.
Come fly our airline. Join the Mile High Club.
Right.
In
or
Europe.
The 6 Mile High.
You could have that spot playing in Europe,
indeed.
Right? Although we didn't get any of those.
We didn't see
very
any
disappointed
of those.
In the commercials in Europe. I never saw one that was anyway risque, nudity, inappropriate, anything.
I was a little disappointed.
I never turned the TV on once.
Because I was at a sports cafe. They didn't have TVs.
No commercials at the sports
cafe? Well, they did. They had about 1,000 of them.
I never plugged into the internet or turned my TV on in my room.
I worked too hard.
Wasn't there enough?
Did you sleep on the floor in the sports cafe?
I barely pulled down the covers on my bed.
Tampa Bay at Miami, Andy. Dolphins by 10.
Tampa Bay at Miami, Dolphins by 10. I will take the Dolphins to win, but I'll take the points. I got a lot of respect for the Dolphins, but Tampa got things moving a little bit under Josh Freeman.
It's because they had the old pumpkin uniforms on last week, didn't they?
They got things moving on you, huh?
Not like Bo does. But so I'll take the points.
Bo knows. I'll take Miami to win.
Bo, forget it.
But I 10's a big number. I'll take the points.
You put Fred to sleep over there.
I'm going to take Miami to win and cover.
Must be the Qdoba.
That was a very fluky win by Tampa Bay last week, and I don't think it happens again. I don't think they put up any points at all. It's a bad offense.
I think Miami wins this game easy.
Easy.
I don't think they do anything easy.
If they get to 11, they cover. Kansas City is at Oakland.
Nothing gets by him.
That's an excellent point, Paul.
Why? It's guaranteed that the other team's going to shut out? Get shut
no,
out? That's a guarantee.
The spread was 10, so if they get to 11, they cover. I know what you're saying. We're making fun of you, Paul. It's okay.
But you're not allowed to make fun of Paul.
But it's kind of stupid.
You know what time it is now?
To assume it's going to be a shutout. Kansas City at Oakland.
Oh, good game.
Raiders by 1.5.
I'll take Kansas City quarterback better.
How
Russell
about
stinks.
A tall, skinny bench warmer?
No, he's a starter now, Wes.
He is, and addition by subtraction. Larry Johnson's gone. They all rally. Uh-huh. Matt Castle's team, booyah, big performance.
Yep, on the strength of Matt Castle, the Chiefs win this game.
I like the Chiefs as well.
Yeah, you got to go with the Chiefs. That's a good point, Andy.
Thank you, Fred.
You get rid of that guy now.
Cancer free.
Yeah, you have the big meeting.
Cancer hair.
You know, we're a team.
That's how Fred described some hair earlier. My stragglers that come out look like cancer hair.
I've never
heard the term cancer.
I've never
hair
heard
before.
That either, though. But that's
I don't
not
think
right.
Anyone has. Fred's inappropriate. He.
Don't you lose hair when you have it? Because you have the chemotherapy. So.
Yeah.
So how?
Here's what
that's
it is.
Not right.
Seattle at Arizona, Andy.
Seattle at Arizona.
Yeah, we got to hurry up. We only got 15 minutes left to get all these picks.
We only have two games left.
Cardinals,
Arizona,
8.5.
Win and cover. Another big performance. From Kurt Warner, you know, he's at that point in his career.
Gerald Fitzlarry.
Pooper, and then a couple big games. Ugh. Pooper, a couple big games. He's in the big game stretch.
I'm getting worried about him.
Why?
He's going to faint over there.
That's why he didn't want to read the emails. He was too tired.
Oh, I see.
What do you got?
I like Arizona to win pretty big.
Yeah, I do as well. Cardinals.
Upset of the week. Seattle wins this game.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yep.
That's all he's got.
Yep.
Yep.
Philadelphia at San Diego, and what should be a good, interesting.
Betty.
Interesting game. Chargers by two.
Sure.
Coming off a huge win.
San Diego.
I am going to take the Philadelphia Eagles to win on the road.
Wow.
I think they are the better football team with a better chance of putting up their best effort.
Really?
I'm really torn about this game.
No way.
But I'm going to take San Diego to win.
Yeah, I agree with Andy in that Philadelphia is a better team, but I think the Chargers are going to win at home.
Yeah, lock of the week, San Diego.
And what's the number, Paul?
Two.
Oh, yeah, I'll take them to cover, too.
Dallas at Green Bay. Packers getting three
at
home.
At Green Bay. Packers
great fight song.
I'm off the Packers. Give me Dallas. I hate the Packers. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I thought Dom Capers was supposedly a defensive genius. Their defense stinks. Aaron Rodgers has the most fraudulent statistics in the history of the world.
He's getting upset again.
Dallas. Well, when they embarrass me, I don't like it.
They embarrass him. Right. I like Dallas in this game, though, too. I think they're the better team. I'm not upset about it, but I will take
it. I've always wanted to be a Packer.
Is there enough oxygen in this?
I like the Cowboys. I love that dicker shot.
Yeah, whoa, right. Hey now. Mark that. Take out the tuh. You're like Julian Edelman.
Oh, jeez. You've said more inappropriate things than the last 15
minutes.
That
one doesn't even make sense.
It makes sense.
It makes
I know what you're talking about.
Out the tuh.
Well, you can't. You don't just take stuff out of the middle of words.
No, he can.
It's called editing.
That
right.
Crazy little machine he's got over there. He can
Dallas
chop it right
Green
where he
Bay,
wants
Fred,
to.
You got a pick?
Yeah, I'm really disappointed with Green Bay myself this year. I thought they'd be a lot better. I'm going with Dallas.
I love Dix as well.
Oh, I thought you had Paul ready. Cut up Paul's last few words. Cut up Paul's.
He doesn't work that fast.
Balls. Baltimore at Cleveland.
What?
Baltimore at Cleveland.
Did you see the Jamal
Brady
Lewis
starting?
Browns getting 11.
This is Monday night.
Jamal Lewis is, first of all, totally retired.
Thanks.
And second of all, is openly saying, oh, yeah, once I'm done here, I'm a Raven. I'll always be a Raven. Well, you're not a Raven right now.
You're a Brown.
Right.
And you're playing
kind of like
Ravens.
A rivalry. You really shouldn't be saying this.
Right.
Idiocy reigns in Cleveland from top to bottom and everywhere in between.
Yes, it does.
Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. Can't pick Baltimore enough. However many points you want to give them.
Yeah. I'll lay the 11-2, although Baltimore is not playing consistent football. But
flack that
Cleveland is.
Don't need to be.
Consistently, they score between 3 and 6 points.
Don't need to be against
Baltimore will score 14 or more.
You got to go with Baltimore in this game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Real bad game for Monday.
All right, and remarkably, with 14 minutes left in the program, we've reached the end of the picks contest.
Well, I had to move you along.
Patriots at Indianapolis. Andy Hart. You know the number.
Actually, we don't know the number.
Oh, yeah, I did. Good point.
We've been talking about it all week.
Well, I know it, but, you know, my memory thing. I actually think this is going to be a little easier. Fred is swaying me over there. I think I went with 38-30 on the TV show. I'm going to say it's extended out now. 38-24, Patriots pretty easily. You know, I know that's only 14 points, but I think they will control this game for the most part. As I said, defensively, I think they will have a lot of defensive backs on the field. Blitz a little bit with McGowan and those guys at times. But I think you'll see a lot of stand-up defensive fronts, not a lot of big bodies out there. And offensively, as I said, I'll be stunned if they don't move the ball, score points.
I think the Colts suck.
I never said.
They're going to score more points through the air or on the ground?
Who?
New England.
How do you decide? How it actually crosses the goal line or how it gets to near the goal line?
How it actually crosses the goal line.
Through the air.
Interesting. I think they might get
otherwise it's going to be on the ground?
No, I think they're going to put up a lot of yards through the air, but I think there's a chance you could get a couple short touchdown runs out of it.
I think the actual touchdown could be a run. Like last week, they threw a 36-yard pass down to the 1-foot line.
That's why I asked.
They ran it in.
That's why
that was
I
a throwing
asked.
Touchdown.
I'd be happy if they did that for my bet that I have on Brady's touchdown passes.
Right.
Yeah, I like New England to win this game, too. I think it's going to live up to the hype, too.
Usually does.
Well, you guys don't think it is.
No, I don't really. I think this is going to be one of the.
I don't think it's going to be
not
a blowout,
one of the better
in this
rivalry.
Fred is definitely swaying me. There's no question about.
How can I sway you?
Because I think you're making. I think usually you have outrageousness.
Right.
I think you're making all good points this week.
What are your points this week?
The edges that the Patriots have, I think, are all really significant edges. I think going against that banged up secondary, the way that Brady, Moss, and Welker really, really every week getting better and better. I think you're right about that.
It's just Brady and Moss, though, because now...
But that's all you need.
Well, I know, but you do kind of need a third receiver in this offense. No, that...
Brady, Moss, and Welker.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't think you need any more than that. You know, they've done it certainly with less than the caliber of Brady with Moss and Welker in the past.
No,
so,
I know. But...
I just look at – I have
that's
a lot of respect for Manning. That's where probably
air.
Where Fred and I separate is he doesn't have any respect for him.
Oh, come on. That's just not right.
And I'm just going with the home field that they somehow find a way. I think the Patriots are a better team than Indianapolis right now. Right now. We'll see what happens, you know, 12, 13 weeks from now when they play again, because I do think they will play again. Right now, I think the Patriots are better. But I'm going to take the Colts to win the game at home.
They playing here?
31-12
weeks, Paul, you think?
We'll find out what happens Sunday night.
I'm asking for your prediction. You think they'll be playing here? Because even if they win, even if the Patriots win...
Then they're playing here.
So you think they'll come back to having even records at the end?
Yep.
Interesting. You, Fred?
What's that? Oh.
What's that?
No,
31-27 is my pick.
31-27. No, I've said all along, I think that everything's going to click for the Patriots, 42-20.
Wow.
However, I will say that two of the Patriots' scores will not come from the offense.
Special teams or defense?
Right.
42-20?
Good, Eric.
You're going to win by three touchdowns.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You saved that prediction for me because I wouldn't have agreed with that.
Can you enlighten us on maybe what you're feeling? I mean, do you think they're defensive scores or do you?
No, I think that, you know, Manning presses. I think that, you know.
Pick six?
Yeah, pick six.
So, yes, defense.
I think that there could be, you know, some type of screw up. I think.
Special teams screw
up?
Yeah,
I think the Colts start feeling the pressure as this game goes along. Wait a minute, we're undefeated. We're behind. They start to press and they start making a couple
Matthew
of
Slater
mistakes.
Picks up a fumble on a kickoff, you know? Maybe?
Because I think, again.
More likely
no,
Matthew Slater gets the fumbles a kickoff.
Just let me remind you guys, my whole thinking is predicated on the Patriots jumping out early.
Okay.
That's how
like
I
the AFC Championship
that's why
in 06.
Gonna, now, if we go into halftime tied, I'm wrong. All right? My prediction is wrong right from there. Even if the Patriots win, I'm wrong because I think that they're going to jump out early, and that's going to cause all this stuff.
So are you going to be the guy post-game that asks Bill, was it extra important this week to jump out to a lead? And then he'll say,
"So believe it or not, we always try to get a lead."
Right. But that's the reason. That's why I think it's going to get out of hand for the Colts later on.
So the pressure.
Yeah.
On guys that have been there before or guys that are new and haven't been there
just
before?
Just everybody, the coach, all the way down the line.
I think more so than pressure, if your scenario unfolds, it's just that's the nature of what the Patriots do. You know, they get
McGowan
they,
will get more opportunities yes. to get after.
You get,
and
a,
yes,
big,
no
you get a big lead, and Manning can't sit there and say, yeah, I know I'm supposed to check it down here for an 11-yard gain, but I can't afford to do that. I got to try to get the 40-yard gain.
Yeah.
Because I'm down three scores with 12 minutes left.
And he's not playing the Dolphins, who take 85 minutes to score. He's playing Brady, who can score in 10 seconds.
So I think that's where the mistakes were. I don't think it's going to be because of any jitters or anything like that.
Do you think I can talk McGowan into changing the spelling of his name so it's like Dat Nguyen's name, and then I can call him McGowan?
What did you just say?
No, remember when
you
I
wanted to spell it M G U Y E N.
Right, remember when
I called him Matt Nguyen?
I called Dat Nguyen Matt Nguyen. So now I could call McGowan, even though we changed the spelling of his name.
What the hell are you talking? This is why you don't have time to read those good emails
this
that are in
Quee. This is why he falls asleep in the middle of.
We got
read
6 minutes.
Email.
Fred.
We got six
read
minutes.
Email.
Finish strong for the first time in your life.
Let's see. Larry says Billy P God is looking sakes. For a flute player to lead the Rats
the
to a
hell's
river.
Going on?
Fred, do you know anyone referring to the Rats at Lucas Oil Stadium?
Rick's played a flute or two in his day. Why? You're in the choir, aren't you? Oh, that doesn't make sense.
God, just struck
me. Eric is just looking at him.
And he hurt himself.
Palms up.
He's on the DL for talking.
I got a pain under my rib.
Wes in Richmond, Probable. Virginia says, anyone else notice Randy has been all business this year? Every time he makes a catch, he hands the ball to the official. He celebrates other teammates' plays more than his own. Against Buffalo, he hugged Tom after the go-ahead TD. Against Tennessee, he fell down and hugged Falk. And against Miami, he high-fived Gostkowski over a touchback. I think he is 100% focused on helping this team win this year. He recognizes 2007 was a wasted opportunity and doesn't care about the individual accolades. He says it all the time. All he cares about is winning, and it shows.
Great cash, homie.
He could also be thinking that this is it. I got to win a Super Bowl before my career's over. You know?
This is going to sound like a shot, but I don't mean it to be. I've seen absolutely no change in Randy Moss as a Patriot. I think the way he is right now is exactly the way he came here.
Well, when did he ever, other than Oakland,
that's why I said
which was Oakland, which was
I know it sounds like a shot, but I mean it to be the exact opposite.
I don't remember him doing all that much.
The celebrations and everything that he did, he did in 07.
Right.
He was excited to be a part of the
– he hasn't done the separation thing for a couple of years now.
But he's excited about being a Patriot, and he has been since the day he became one. And winning and playing with Brady and all this stuff. Right. I think he's been a perfect teammate since he's been here. I don't think there's any change.
I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help.
You think he's changed?
No. Add to the list today of lower level players that he's yelled across the locker room to come over and talk to him, Ron Brace, who many fans have forgotten about as an inactive defender, but Randy Moss wanted to talk to him about something.
Probably Brace! Money.
That's what he said, Brace.
Fat Pat writes
in. Why you got to go money?
I mean, Fat Pat writes in. I must say, I'm sick of hearing.
It sound dirty. I made it sound so, you know, beautiful.
I must say, I'm sick of hearing this crap about Manning getting it done with no weapons and all the injuries and all that. All he is Garcon and Colley. Well, poo-poo. People need to relax. It's not like he's left with Caldwell and Gaffney, who Brady, by the way, took to that nail-biting AFC Championship. I think people are looking for ways to compare the two so they can finally say Manning is better because of a lack of weapons, just like Brady did. Is Reggie in Dallas still on the roster? Manning has all he needs. They want to make excuses for Manning so they can finally say he's better. Is it really any surprise that the Colts have been able to ride the penis head to 8-0? He's doing what an elite QB is supposed to do with enough help.
Now we're riding the penis head.
Brady's receivers in 06.
I was hoping you were going to let that go, and I knew you would.
Brady's receiver in 06 wouldn't even be able to serve Gatorade to the Colts roster in that year. So enough of that crap. His situation is getting exaggerated.
Now Pierre
Garçon.
What's
getting exaggerated is Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon.
Pierre Garçon and Austin Colley are now better than 5-, 6-, 7-year NFL players.
Well, like Gaffney was Caldwell coveted by Josh McDaniels to go to Denver. I mean.
Chris Price is here. How you doing?
Not bad. How you guys doing?
Mike on. Just first time.
It is on.
Radio.
He is on.
Exactly.
But
come on, Doc.
Pot it up, Doc. Come on. What are you doing?
It's on. You just got to talk into the top of it.
Turn the mic.
What do you think? I work for a radio station?
So now, are you filling in for John Rook, or are you doing it with him?
Well, usually you have to buy me dinner
first. Are you going to ride penis head, or are you going to work?
I am filling in for John today.
Okay.
Now, get a load of this. I walk in here, and Jason tells me who we got coming on the show today.
Right.
And it's usually, okay, Russell Baxter.
Right.
That's great. I love talking to Russell. Gives me a little bit of unique insight into the league. Guess who wants to come on right after 2 o'clock?
Eric Scaldino.
Tony Dungy.
You guys always get the guest.
Tony Dungy.
Well, they had Rodney Harrison yesterday.
Back-to-back days, playbook has been huge.
This is PatriotsEffin.com radio. Let me tell you something. We only get the best.
What does the F stand for?
What is this all about?
He has this shifting and adjusting in his chair.
So, no, it should be a good show.
That's huge. It should be a great
show. What time is he coming
on? He's coming on right off the top at 2:05, so we're going to ask him about one of the things that intrigues me is no one really knows a lot about Jim Caldwell. He's really the only new guy in this rivalry, for me anyway. And, you know, I want to know a little bit more about him. You know, his background, I saw a couple of pieces today on it, but I want to know more about him, why he decided to go, you know, why they decided to go after Caldwell, what makes him unique, what makes him different, what he brings to this rivalry.
We talked about that earlier in the week. No one nationally or locally really talks about it. The first time was this morning on actually your station when they had Bob Kravitz on, actually was very high on Caldwell and said he's doing as good a job or better than Dungy ever did coaching this team. But aside from that, I don't know anything about Jim Caldwell. No one ever mentioned him. It's Peyton Manning. It's Tom Moore. It's even Larry Coyer coming on for the defense. No one ever talks about Caldwell.
We got a good impression of him at the Combine. Remember the first time we saw him? You don't remember that?
Nope.
Andy had a call.
Really? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember.
Don't you remember? Andy had
a call. Why don't you turn to Chris? He was at the Combine.
I was at the Combine, too.
Do you remember a good impression of Jim Caldwell?
Jim Caldwell made absolutely no impression on me.
Thank you.
Really?
Made absolutely no impression on me. Maybe I wasn't listening.
You're saying thank you, but you and I talked about him at the Combine.
I was just being nice to you. Oh, you had a thought. I kind of was nice.
I wasn't there, so we had to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't go to the Combine.
Of course not. No.
All right, well, that'll be cool.
Yeah, no. And,
make sure
and
you ask
course,
him the tough questions.
Exactly.
Should we ask him if he had a thing with Bob Kravitz? Because he didn't seem to be overly complimentary.
Yeah, Bob Kravitz took Brady over Manning. He's taking the Patriots over the Colts this week and thinks Jim Caldwell's a better coach. Sounds like he might be the Ron Borges of Indy there.
Right. Oh. We also have, again, Russell Baxter coming out of three, kind of taking a spin around the league.
Staple of the playbook.
Are you going to tell him how you kind of took a shot at him earlier when you said, normally we have Russell Baxter, and he gives us some good stuff. But this week,
Tony Dungy. Well, and we also have Russell Baxter.
Let me ask you something, Chris, before we leave. They had this Sports Nation poll on ESPN, and every state in the country except for five of the six New England states took Manning if they only could pick one quarterback.
To win,
to win one game. Manning over Brady.
87% were Manning, and the 13 for Brady, and there was only five states that picked Brady, five New England states, Connecticut being the lone.
30,000 respondents.
So are you asking me who I would take? Or
no, no.
About the
what
poll?
Do you think about that?
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. And
because?
Like, it would because people either the Patriots blow hot or cold.
Okay. No, wait. Love, he's not. This isn't over yet. Keep going.
I agree with you.
People
either love the Patriots or hate the Patriots.
That's
okay.
Right.
There's now, a very clear.
I totally agree.
It's like Duke basketball or Notre Dame football. You either love the Patriots or you hate the Patriots.
Okay. Right. Andy and I are in total agreement, and Fred as well. Fred brought up that right away. Andy and I both agreed people hate the Patriots. And whatever. Similar poll. Bill Belichick against whoever you deem to be the second. Fred couldn't deem anybody to be second best.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever you deem to be second best. Bill Belichick against.
To win one game.
To win one game. Bill Belichick against Mike Tomlin. I don't know. He won a Super Bowl. I don't know. Anybody? And whoever you think is second best.
Coughlin.
You could
Tom
Coughlin out there. You could make an argument for Fisher. You could make an argument for.
But what do you think the results would be?
Belichick.
I think 100%. I think begrudgingly people would say, well, you know what? I don't like him, but he's a hell of a
football player. That's right. That's exactly what
I
said.
More hated Belichick or Brady nationally?
Belichick.
I rest our case. No further questions.
I don't disagree
no
with
further
that.
Questions. So your reasoning is flawed.
Well, I don't disagree
Your reasoning
with
is
that.
Flawed. You and said that they picked one guy because they hate the other, but then.
They picked what? They picked.
But we all agree.
We got an impartial outside party. The reason why is because there is very little separation between Brady and Manning, if you look at it objectively. But there's huge separation between Belichick and everybody
Thank
else.
Thank you very much. You've answered all our questions. We have no further questions for you.
We've reached that point in the show.
We're
going to say right.
I didn't know what the hell he's talking
about. We'll
see you next
time today.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right, we'll see you next Tuesday. Goodbye.